Blog Talk Radio. code.
Take a pose.
Mike Cube.
Come on, baby mama.
y'all got that work.
Thank you.
Rodney Prodigy and James Icon present What's in the Name Part 2. Saturday, November 10th in New York City. Grand prize, $1,000 for Old Way. Make us believe you're back in the 80s. Grand prize number 2, open to all legendary runway for $1,000. Other cash categories include mini grand prize, open to all streetwear for $300. As well as open to all runway, the casting call for $500, sponsored by the Mocha Center. That's Saturday, November 10th, in New York City. Admission, $30 all night. Tables, $150. The location, the Light Box, 841 Barreto Street, Bronx, New York. For more information, contact Father James Icon or Father Rodney Prodigy via Facebook or visit the event page for more info. The House of Valentino presents The Awakening Ball, Saturday, November 3rd in Pittsburgh, PA. Are you ready? Your grand prizes include Butch Queen Runway, The Trickster, for $1,000. Team Performance, The Assassins, for $1,000. As well as Legendary Femme Queen Performance, The Queen of the Throne, for $1,000. Mini grands include Butch Queen Vogue Femme, The Battle Cat, as well as Realness with a Twist, The Double Take. Over $7,500 in cash and trophies presented by the House of Valentino. The Awakening Ball, Saturday, November 3rd at the Hazelwood YMCA. The address, 4213 Chatsworth Street in Pittsburgh. Admission, $30 all night. Tables, $150 in advance, $200 at the door. Your commentators include The Icon, Jack Mizrahi, Icon, Selvin Khan, Legendary Kevin J.C. Prodigy, and Jukebox Valentino. The House of Valentino presents The Awakening Ball, November 3rd in Pittsburgh, PA. For more information, visit Facebook and the event page for up-to-date info on the event. Over $7,500 in cash and trophies. Get ready, girls.
October 27th, 2012. The CEO and founder, Mother Jasmine Couture, brings to you a new collection. A collection of horror. A collection of mystery and suspense. Come bear witness in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., as Mother Jasmine Couture brings to you the scariest night in ballroom history, Gagoween. Grand prize, open to all legendary performance for $6,000. The mystery, 666. That's 16 captains, 6 teams, and a mystery femme queen per team, Gagoween. Other cash categories include Butch Queen Runway, The Walking Dead, open to all foot and eye, designers from beyond the grave, Team Realness, Children of the Corn, Butch Queen Sex Siren, The Candy Man. That's right, in a special category that I'm calling The Grudge. Six of today's hottest divas are invited to settle their score at Gagoween. 3 grudge matches, $1,000 each, with the grand prize thickening throughout the event. Mother Temptress, the overall mother Dee Dee Chanel, says she wants a rematch at a big ball. Mother Kelly, the icon mother Shay Shay Chanel, says it was only a Wednesday night mini ball. Get over it and bring it to Gagoween. And legendary mother Sasha Garcon and the icon mother Sanaya Ebony, which one of you are the true ladies of Sex Siren? That's right, 3 grudge matches. 3 divas will win, $1,000 each. But how much more will be raised at Gagoween? Find out October 27th in Washington, D.C. For more information, contact Jasmine Couture directly or subscribe to Jasmine Couture's Facebook page for up-to-date info on the event. Over $10,000 in grand prizes, history will be made once again. Gagoween.
To the State of Emergency Show, where tonight we are talking about, tonight we are doing part 2 of the respect factors between butch queens and femme queens. We're continuing with what we talked about last week, and we also are going to do that briefly, you know, maybe for the first, you know, segment of the show or so, and then we are going to definitely go into a topic that was requested by someone, and that happens to deal with growing up in a household without a father and how that affects your life, things of that sort. I'm sorry for my delay in talking, but my computer's acting funny. Chat room, hello, can you guys hear me? And if you can, someone please say something. If you guys are on Facebook, somebody send me a message, because I don't know what's going on. Whatever y'all had up there yesterday or for the past 2 days, y'all sent it down here because the weather has been horrible down here today. Okay, thank you. All right, so how's everyone doing? I don't know where everyone is at, so if you are on the phone lines and you're part of our cast tonight, our panelists, please press 1 and we will bring you on the line. Thank you. And if you want to sit in with us, go ahead and press 1 too. We have room for you. But tonight we will be talking about our topic. Thank you. Tonight we will be talking about the respect factor between butch queens and femme queens. Last week we had a deep conversation in reference to that, the way butch queens look at femme queens. We went from everything from, you know, why the femme queens are looked at a certain way or why they are treated a certain way because of the way they carry themselves. You know, that's the reason some people said. Then we talked about relationships and why they're treated the way they are, why there's so much expected of them in so many ways. But a lot of the comparisons that did come up, a lot of people started comparing the life of a butch queen and the things that butch queens go through as well. And we did talk a lot about femme queens last week. So tonight we're going to open up the floor to the butch queens just for them to share some of their things that they go through as well as far as relationships go, how they are looked at by the community, by the public, by their peers and things, you know, people of that sort. And again, we are going to get into the topic of actually growing up in a household without a father, you know, and things of that sort in general as well. So I'm going to kind of bring on my panelists one by one. I did see some numbers. I am running a little behind, so I didn't save them, so I don't even know whose numbers are who. So I'm going to go with the people that I recognize, and then I'm going to call your numbers out and then put your name next to them. And again, if you want to be on the panel tonight, please call in and sit with us, and we can talk and, you know, take it from here. Thank you, guys. Jason, you are on the air.
Hey, Jazzy, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
I'm tired. My voice is going to be a little scratchy just getting in here from rehearsal.
How was rehearsal?
Tonight was really good. I can't wait for the show. Tonight was really, really good. We got a lot covered and doing a play, a lot changed, so a lot of stuff changed, but it was really good. How was your day?
It was really good. It was really good. The weather was horrible. You know, everything you guys were going through yesterday, it seemed like you guys sent it down here because today was just a mess.
Wow.
But it was pretty good. Everyone in the official ballroom radio station chat, I want to say thank you for making the chat hot today, as well as the numbers growing in there. Kelly created this chat room for this group many, 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 many months ago. And because of the tea party, a lot of you guys were right in the tea party and kind of like, you know, only use the official ballroom radio station chat as a way of promoting and things of that sort. But today you guys really, really livened it up. And I want to say thank you for everyone that has participated in Kelly's group. You know, Kelly may have some of those other groups out there as well with pictures and things of that sort. But like everyone knows, there is another side of Kelly that is very positive. And this room that she has here really was popping today with a lot of positive stuff, not over to negative attacks and, you know, drama. It was actually a good group. It was very interesting to read today. And I want to say thank you to everyone that did participate in the group as well and keep up the good work. And to the over 3,000 people that are in there, the numbers get strong.
Wow.
So thank you. The next person we have on the line is Vonna. How are you? Vonna?
Oh, my God. I'm here. I'm sorry. My phone was with me. I didn't know it. I'm here.
Hey, Vonna.
How are you?
How are you? Hi, Jason.
How's your day?
Busy but good. How was yours?
It was good. It was okay. It was good. A lot of gaggling stuff I had to deal with today. A lot of gaggling stuff. So I hope you guys are getting prepared for gaggling. It's going to be very, very, very interesting. I got a lot of people that are hitting me up about gaggling. A lot of tables are going. And a lot of people are really interested in those categories. So good luck to everyone. So we'll talk more about that later. The next caller we have is 917-693. You're on the air.
Oh, my God. Hey, guys. Hi, Jazzy. Hi, Jason. Hi, the other person.
Hey.
Hey,
is that
Keisha? How are you?
Okay.
I'm just getting home from work, just a little down and irritated, but I'll be all right.
Why did you give the oh my God when you got on the line?
I didn't think I had pressed one. I wasn't ready to press. I'm driving. Well, actually, to be honest with you, I'm driving without a Bluetooth. I just got home and I didn't want to get stopped by the cops. So.
Oh, are you still driving right now?
I'm in my garage now. I'm sorry. How's everyone doing today?
Everybody's good.
Huh?
Everybody's good.
Okay.
So, Keisha, I'm going to keep you on with us. I want you to sit with us. But if it gets loud, just kind of mute your phone until you come back, okay?
All right.
Okay. The next caller is 410-426. I'm sorry, 462, you're on the air.
Hey, what's up, Jasmine? Hey, Jason.
Hey,
everybody.
Hey.
What's going on? How's everybody? Well, you know how everybody is when I was listening. I'm good, Jasmine. How are you? Are you excited about your bowl? You're getting a lot of feedback, a lot of drama on them posts, but you still, that's good feedback, though.
Yeah, yeah. Those posts, if you guys are not knowing what posts we're talking about, there have been voting processes in effect for the grudge matches in the official ballroom between the six divas of ballroom. So you might want to get in there and start your voting process and see what girl you think is going to eat it for gasoline. And tomorrow there'll be some other polls up there as well, just kind of highlighting the ball for different categories and stuff. Thank you, Enrique. The next caller is 347-413. You're on the air.
Hello. Hi, Jasmine. Hi, Jason. Hi. I'm sorry, whoever the other person is. I'm sorry, I forgot your name. But hello, everyone.
Keisha, and I thank you.
Oh, Keisha. Hey, how are you?
Hey, hi. Who am I speaking with?
Hi. You're speaking with Sean.
Hi, Sean. How are you?
Hey, Sean. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm great. So, I mean, can I start off the conversation with concerning the Butch Queens and Femme Queens? Or
we're going to come right back to you, Sean. Let me just get all the cast members on there. And
okay.
Then once I get everybody on there and we start the topic, it's going to be the first one I come to.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Sean. And the last one that we had, well, two more. 718-385, you're on the air.
Hi, Jasmine. Hi, Enrique. Hi, Jason. Hi, Vanna. And hi, Keisha.
Hey, Mama, what's good?
Kelly better bring her motherfucking A game. That's all the fuck I got to tell her motherfucking ass.
By the way, I saw that clip. Cass, I saw the clip.
What clip?
The clip of Kelly and Danny.
We're not talking about that tonight.
When you talk, all I hear is
and there we go from the other side of switchboard all the way in the Bronx.
I tell you, you better bring your A game, girl. You over there talking shit, but you better step your pussy out. You shook the building up. I will give it to you, bitch, because you were sitting for the New York Awards Ball.
Mm-hmm.
The icon is ready, and she is going. When she bend that corner, you gonna think she's at Connor Niddle and give for gown. She's gonna be ready for your ass, Kelly.
Huh? Here we go, honey. and the last caller we have, Alexis, you're sitting in with us tonight, right?
Yeah.
And the last caller, and Naima, where are you? You don't need grand entrances, bro. 646-267, you're on the air.
Hey, I'm here, and it's Amina. I'm sorry, it's misspelled with my Facebook, but it's Amina.
Amina?
Yeah, Amina with an A.
Hi, Amina.
Hey.
Hi, Amina.
Hello. You want to answer some of the questions and stuff? You want to come on when we do the questions?
Yes, yes.
Okay, I'm going to put you on hold, and we'll come back to you when we start the topic. And the last caller is 214-605. You're on the air.
There she go.
Hello.
Oh.
Hello.
What happened?
Hey, what's up, this Johnny? I found out about y'all on Facebook. I'm kind of new to these. I'm just listening to the show.
Welcome.
Johnny. Well, thank you, Johnny. And do me a favor, Johnny. I'm
No, my name's Sean.
Sean.
Oh, Sean. I'm sorry. Who's Johnny? Do me a favor and press one for me really quickly. And when you want to come on the air and talk, we will bring you on, okay? Just press one for me so you can get out of the host queue. And I think this is Naima. Naima, you're on the air.
Oh, you do see what I called that?
Yes, from the bathroom.
Not too much on my phone.
I love you, Seth.
Thank you, Sean.
What's going on? What's up, y'all?
Naima, you have been doing the thing today, I tell you.
Must be high in the house. Because I came home in the official ballroom radio group, I had like, it looked like 100 or something posts. But bitch, 75 of them were from you. I'm like, is this bitch bored today?
No, I wasn't bored, but I just wanted to, you know, I had a little, I just wanted to know what the girls, you know, I just wanted to know their opinion on certain things, that's all.
Mm.
Not too much, Miss Clark.
Mm-hmm. Not just enough.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and Director Mother Miss Rahi, whenever you're ready to come on, I'm not doing all that for you. You know how to get on.
Honey, so. Director
you,
Mother.
You know where you're at, and I'll just let you come on when you like to come on. So.
I have something to say, but I'll wait.
we have the one and only J Rock Dupree on the line. Hi, J Rock.
How you doing, Jazz? How y'all doing tonight?
Hey, J Rock.
Hey, how are you?
Doing pretty good, right?
All right. I want to thank everyone for tuning in to the State of Emergency Show, and all the listeners that are out there, and the special listeners that are listening to tonight's show. You know who you are. We talked about it earlier. I want to say thank you for tuning in. Tonight, we are just pretty much going to pick up off of what we talked about last week. If you don't know what we talked about last week, we did talk about the respect factor between Butch Queens and Seven Queens. And we are going to continue with that, especially from the boys tonight in the very beginning. But that is not what we're going to focus on the whole night, because I did get a personal request from someone that did want to talk about another topic, and I do want to bring that in as well. If you guys have a chance to listen to last week's episode, please go to www.blogtalkradio.com/censorshop, and you're able to download the archive and listen to last week's episode. And it was the first episode of the season as far as episode goes, not our premiere show. And you can listen to the topic last week. It was very, very interesting. And if you have an iPhone, you can download it on your iTunes. Also, if you have an iPhone, make sure you update your iPhone to the new iOS 6.0.
All Apple products, Jasmine.
I'm sorry?
All of the Apple products got a new update.
Yeah, if you have one, is it iOS or ISO? iOS. Yeah, iOS 6.0, and it is for all your iPhones and iPod touches and iPads and everything, and she's really cute and she's fat, and now I don't have to go through so much that I had to go through before, but I'm not going to sell Apple products.
Even the MacBooks have an update.
Even the who?
The MacBooks.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So.
Oh, really? The MacBooks have updates?
Yeah, I'm updating that as we speak. Go ahead, Jasmine. I'm sorry.
So, we talked a lot about the Seven Queens last week and a lot of the issues that Seven Queens were happening. Thank you, baby. We had a lot of issues with a lot of. We talked a lot with the Seven Queens last week, and the way Seven Queens are looked at, the issues that they have in relationship to their living conditions, you know, the way people look at them in public, also the respect factors as far as males and females go. And how males look at females, you know, figures, vice versa. But tonight we're going to talk about the Butch Queens for a little bit. And, you know, some of the things that they feel that, you know, they go through. They do not like when they are called faggots, number one.
I like when they call what, Jasmine?
Faggot.
Let me see.
There's
a difference.
How
was
that?
Oh, get ready to go.
Ready to jump on already.
You know, and you know what? In all honesty, and again, I want the callers to know that, you know, we have a wide range of different people that are listening to the show, and we have a lot of straight people, as well as parents, family members, so forth and so on. So just kind of be a little bit respectful when you guys are talking. But, you know, that's something that comes very close. It's something I always had a problem with. As well, I just never liked.
2073 is not available.
What is that? Where is that?
Somebody on their cell phone and dial a number by accident. Go ahead.
We lost Keisha. She must have been trying to do something. the word magic is very harsh. Whoever that's on speakerphone, can you guys either take it off or just press mute if you're on speaker, and we'll come to you. When we come to you, just unmute it. Using the terminology faggot, you know, a lot of people do not like that. And I'm sure you can hear that again from the Butch Queen. They will definitely share that with you as well. And just a lot of the stuff. But, you know, I'm not a Butch Queen. I'm a lady. So I ain't going to talk that much about it. But I'll let you guys talk about it. Starting off with the boys tonight, Jason, I'm going to give you the floor, and you just open it up the way you want to.
Okay. I don't have a problem. I mean, the funniest thing is I don't have a problem with the word faggot or any of those derogatory words because I learned a long time ago to take the power out of them, just like I learned to take the power out of the word nigger. So it's just a word. I find it funny when butch queens get into reading sessions or they want to offend each other and they will call each other faggot or they're like, oh, well, bitch, you just a bottom. Like that's insulting. Like that's insulting. You're insulting me by telling me, calling me a statement that I know. Yes, I know I'm gay. Yes, I know that I'm a bottom. So what are you getting out of, or what read are you making by calling me that? It makes no sense to me. Enrique, how do you feel?
I personally don't like the word, like I mentioned last week. I mean, it's different strokes for different folks. You know what I'm saying? I personally don't like the word, and all my friends know that I kind of hate, well, I don't kind of, I hate being referred as she or her, because I get on a friends like that a lot of times, you know what I'm saying? And I really try not to do that as well. It's just the way I was brought up. I mean, it's just that my mother took me to my first gay club, so I didn't have to hide or anything, because I kind of know the roles, and I accept everything. It's just from her. I knew not to accept the word faggot or her and she because I am who I am and I never had to hide it. So that's my personal belief. I just don't like the word. I don't like nigger either. So that's why you don't ever use that or hardly ever use that.
Gay Rock?
And then with the word faggot, I just never really liked that word because I'm the kind of person who I get real sensitive on issues as when it comes to. You already know what we go through as gay people, period. Whether you're gay, transgender, bisexual, trisexual, chemsexual, whatever, like you know, Keisha said. But whatever you are, you know, you go through all this bashing and stuff, and then the main one be like you fag or you faggot or something like that. Every time I've ever heard faggot, maybe it's just me, it was like some... Like, when you hear of somebody, like, damn, they're dying or getting bashed or something like that, and you hear that word faggot, it's so harsh, and the tone in it, so then when you hear somebody within your own community, it's kind of like a black person calling another black person Uncle Tom. Like, me being light-skinned, I had another black person call me Uncle Tom, and I almost went the fuck off because that's making me feel like, so you're really saying that I'm, like, kissing a white man's ass or something, or either calling you a porch nigga, you know what I'm saying, or something like that, or a house nigga. Or something like that. So, and I mean, like they said, I don't really like the word nigga. And then, like, if I get real, real, real mad and find out, like, if I'm about to say nigga, please, I know that you didn't brought me to a place that is out of my character. You know, so I really don't like faggot. It's just really harsh. And that's why a lot of these butch queens be ready to fight when they hear that word. And I found that a lot of transgender girls, there's nothing against none of the transgender girls, nothing like that. But boy, when they get mad, or they. That's the first thing come up to you, little faggot. I'm sick of these little queens, you faggot. And I'll be like, wow.
The first thing that come out your mouth is man.
Hold on.
That's another reason why I hate that word, because it's always used derogatory. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Never used it in a positive light. It's always used to read
mean. And it'd be so harsh. Now, not out of my mouth, but I'd never call a transgender woman man. Now, I can take that back. Wait a minute. On London Tea Party, I do. Manny's.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Yeah,
but I'm saying, like that's, I know what you're saying. That's being kiki and stuff like that. But I'm talking like when it's like we in an arguing match or we didn't got mad or if there's something out on this radio or not, nothing like that. So I just never really called. Until I became a part of the Tea Party and stuff, I never really just called I never got into an argument with a transgender woman because most transsexuals that I hang around or deal with, I treat them like women. They never did nothing. I guess I never got into an argument with them to call them a man, I guess. So I guess I can't say that I wouldn't do it. But I feel like that's wrong, too. So, yeah, I never really got into an argument with a transgender.
Okay, go ahead, Alexis, because you seem like you are a phoenix.
Okay.
This is my thing. There are faggots and there are gay men.
Mm-hmm.
My thing, do you know what a faggot to me is? Is what I look at a faggot? These queens that you see walking around here, they got gray eyes, cut up jean shorts, a cut up t-shirt, and bitch, Miss Thang, I cannot take it.
Okay.
It's like nails to a chalkboard.
Oof.
You do not have to be seen. You know, faggots like attention. Faggots like to be the center of attention. But when they get that attention, they don't know how to handle it. So to me, a faggot is just somebody who just a gay man that is not even a gay man, because some transgenders are faggots.
Thank you.
No.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
So I don't let me not say even say gay men. What fuck is a gay man? Because you're no longer transgender. That's just, I just can't. Like, some people just look at you and be like, bitch, is she serious? Like, and I'm at school most days, and there's this one guy, with a few of them, but it's this one guy, he has this long hair, full facial hair, these Ugg boots on, and you hear him before you see him.
Oh.
And I just sit, when he comes around me, my whole mat, I just, he just disgusts me.
But wouldn't it be more flamboyant, though? Not so much as a faggot, but wouldn't it be, like, more flamboyant?
To me, that's the same thing. You could be flamboyant and not want to be in the limelight. You understand what I'm saying?
Prince is flamboyant, but he's not a faggot. He's flamboyant.
You could be, like, I have a friend that's flamboyant.
But not a faggot.
But he's not a faggot.
Right. Flamboyant means just loud, got to be seen.
Yeah.
But you're not
like,
really.
Like the hood chicks. You know how.
Like Prince to me is flamboyant, but he's not a faggot.
Right.
Okay. Some of these weirdos that go to these good schools are flamboyant, but they're not loud like faggots.
Right.
Then you got the ones who are faggot and flamboyant, and that's what she's saying.
Like you be on the bus. Like for instance, I'd be on the bus all the time, especially when I was in Atlanta. And I'll be sitting next to a guy, and you have two queens on the bus. Bitch, Miss Thang, I don't know. I'm ready to go to this motherfucker club, Miss Thang. You know, bitch, I'm going to get the fuck up out of here. And the train be like, look at these faggots. And I laugh because I'm actually thinking the same thing. Like, look at these faggots. You know, that's what I feel a faggot is. And I could be wrong. But
can a straight boy be considered a faggot too when they cut up and act like that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if he's a straight boy, I hope he's not acting like that.
Did he not straight?
Well, come spend the day with me in Baltimore.
Did he not straight?
What you mean, like just being loud?
Just being loud. He's mad. They're not gay.
Masculine. I'm talking about the. You know
the gum popping, the hey, missing honey child, boom.
But that's
yes.
a different character. But what you're describing is a different characteristics that we have in our society. Not everybody's going to be masculine. Not everybody's going to be what I call casual femme. There are people who are very showy. Like people said, they're fat in the straight world, like Prince.
They're
to me, excited. It's flamboyant.
There you go.
It's just different things.
But what we just said is that Prince is flamboyant but not faggoty.
Right, but Prince is not gay. So there's a difference.
Excuse me, Enrique?
Okay, maybe. I don't know if Prince was gay or not. I'm sorry if I didn't get the memo.
Bisexual. Well, let me
okay.
try.
So you're telling me somebody that goes, that's on the stage going, and that's not, that's straight or not, he's flaming.
Well, see, I think
but he's beautiful.
I think that's his stage persona.
Ooh.
I'm talking about people that's every like all the time. Every time you hear them, you hear them before you see them.
Okay, I didn't
I know you all have been in, like, even, and it'd be so funny because there's always one and there's a bunch of cunts around them.
A bunch of cunts around us, yeah.
And they're loud, and the cunts are like, yeah, girl, and you
and
be looking at them like,
encouraging them.
Mm-hmm. You think this shit is cute. Like, I
and then the cunts act like them, too. They kind
of
expect
that. But then you know what the cunts do? Soon as that faggot, that loud faggot leaves, the cunts read them, too.
That
faggot's
stupid. But you know what? I eat a fag hag. If you think about it, what is a fag hag? Somebody that acts like a faggot.
Uh-huh.
Wendy Williams.
Yes.
So what do you call a cunt that acts like a tranny?
Tiffany, I'm not talking about you. Well, you have girls like, and I hate a girl that tries to be
mimic.
I can't. It irks the shit.
Yeah, I don't like that either. That whole fag hag thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now
like, girl, you trying too
like,
hard.
I have a few girlfriends that use the lingo. She'd be like, what's the tea, Miss Tavy? And we can have regular conversation. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
But, shit, bitch, Miss Thang, I don't like that. Don't draw attention to. Listen, I love to be able to go out and just enjoy myself being the female figure that I am. I hate hoes that have to be in the line. It could be a bunch of cunts. And guess what I will call them? Look at these fucking faggots. So when I use the term faggot, it's a derogatory statement. Yes, it is. But it's not just towards gay people. Anybody that to me that is loud, flamboyant, rambunctious, just I can't deal with it. That's a faggot to me.
Mm.
Okay. I just want to make a statement based upon the fact of you of butch queens always saying that they hate the word faggot and they hate that we as some queens say the word faggot. But going back to what I said earlier, the butch queens, gay man, whatever you choose to call yourself on, because it's Wednesday. They don't have a problem as soon as we start arguing, you're a man, you're a boy, you weren't born like that, you're this, you're that, you should do. The first thing that fly out of their mouth is a derogatory comment. But if we say faggot, then we're so wrong. No, watch what the fuck you say, and I watch what I say as well.
That goes with the quality of people that you hang with, because I know I personally don't call femme queens, any femme queen, a man or any
of
that.
Some of them are, just bottom line.
Just at any joking, so it kind of depends on the crowd that you run with.
Whether you're joking,
but you shouldn't joke like that.
First of all, it's not the quality of people you hang around, because just because you speak to someone doesn't mean you hang with them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the conversation of what people have. But just like J-Rock, the first thing he said was, well, I have never. And then I said, well, I've seen you do it. They're like, well, it's in a joking manner. But it's still the same thing. And I don't hang out with any. So it's a difference. The first thing that falls out of someone's mouth about us is boy or man, but you don't want to be called a faggot.
All right. We're not going to stay on the faggot term, because I really wanted you guys to definitely kind of touch up on what we talked about last week in comparison, because a lot of you were just kind of sharing with us the things that you guys go through in your day-to-day lives. And I just use that as an example of, you know, you guys don't like to be called fags, but also everything from, you know, the type of boys that you deal with and the type of boys that may also take advantage of you or try to take advantage of you or things of that sort, because we did talk about type of boys that, you know, deal with the seven queens and, you know, they either are with them for, you know, their fame or their fortune or who they are and their statuses and things of that sort. So I just wanted the boys to kind of touch up a little bit on what we talked about and, you know, with some of the things that you guys face in life as well. And again, I'm just going to start with Jason, and I'm going to go to Enrique, J-Rock, and then to some of the guy callers. So go ahead, Jason. Just anything you want to share with us based on last week that you never had a chance to talk about?
like, I'll use this for example. Sunday, this is the problem that I have. Sunday, I was in the KFC, and I don't know how you, a lesbian, that's what I'm going to call her, a lesbian came in with her girlfriend, and there were two guys that were ahead of me ordering, were waiting for their food, and once they got their food, they looked at her, and I guess all of a sudden something in her must have snapped. And she just started going on this tangent about how she hated men, no men, no man. The only man that was ever a man in her life was her father, even though he boxed her up and all that. So in my mind, I'm already saying, okay, this girl has issues. Let me order my food. Let me mind my business. So I placed my order, and she's still going off on her tangent. So after I placed my order, the more sensible one of the bunch, I say, sweetie, the lady is calling you because I've already placed my order. So then the more mannish one then says, she ain't your sweetie, she my sweetie, and you need to worry about the sweetie that's fucking you. And and before I lost it, I just composed myself and looked at the situation, because I'm like, okay, she already has an issue with the fact that I'm a man. So me being a gay man is just really going to just tipping her off. So she proceeded to continue to go on. So I said, you're right, she's not my sweetie. I do apologize. But you two were engrossed in your conversation and the way the service girl was calling you. So I was only being polite and a gentleman by letting you know it was your turn. Now, I can get ugly if we need to. So she said whatever else she needed to say, and I said, you know what, I understand. You're a woman, I'm a man, I'm going to let it go. You want to be what I am. I don't want to be what you are. I respect you for who you are, and I'm just going to let it go. So then she just got all up in my face, and I don't hit women if I don't have to. That's why I have 8 sisters. She proceeded to attack me, Jasmine. Literally attack me. So I had to reach out and touch her.
Not reach out and touch her.
And then she was like, call the police, call the police. He hit me. And the woman behind the counter, who she cussed the woman up behind the counter as well, said, ain't nobody calling the motherfucking police. You got what you deserve. Sir, take your food and have a nice day. And I tip.
Bitch.
Ugh.
Leading cop.
And I have, and that has bothered me all, it has really bothered me all week, because I'm not the most masculine man, I'm not the most feminine man, I'm comfortable with who I am. It took me 20 plus years to get comfortable with who I am, and if you don't like who I am, somebody else will, and that's the problem that I have, one of the problems I have with butch queens, or gay men in general, that we already are into stereotyping ourselves with inner racism and hatred when we put each other in all these different boxes instead of accepting each other for who we are, which goes to, yeah, if I get mad with you, you call me a faggot, I call you a man in a dress, I'm not respecting you, you're not respecting me, I don't respect your gender, you're not respecting my gender, so we're just going to insult each other, and then society's going to look at us and say, well, them bitches are just crazy.
Okay. All right, Enrique, anything you wanted to share?
I mean, I posted this topic like in Ballroom Institute, and they gave me a couple of situations, too. One of the first ones that I was thinking about is when you try to get in relationships, or when people see qualities that them themselves don't have. That's my biggest problem. Like, you're looking for this and you're looking for that, but you don't attain any of that. So where is that working? I guess I pick up where you drop off or something like that. That's always been one of my issues about that. Basically what they were saying in the Barber Institute, like the whole Facebook cheater thing, like even though you're in a relationship, but if you're flirting, I'm not even Facebook or anywhere online, is that considered cheating? How do you guys feel? Is that considered cheating, flirting, swiping pics, or anything like that, even though you never met the person or never intend to meet the person, supposedly? But if you're having conversations, flirting, flirtatious talking, how do you guys feel about that?
Cheater.
I think that my mother always told me, I'm sorry, my mother always told me, if you think it, you've already done it.
Okay.
All right. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you talking about swiping pics, honey. You swiping them.
Hold on a second. Keisha, you're back. Girl, what are you going through over there? All right, go ahead, Naima.
I mean, if you swiping pics, you know, y'all doing, you know, a little flirting and stuff like that. I mean, you know, I mean, not everybody who I flirt with on Facebook or web and stuff like that do I meet. You know, because I'm a big flirt. I flirt with you and your boyfriend, you know, together if y'all standing in front of me.
I have you together.
But
I have them together. Go ahead.
Excuse me?
So, girl, if you're in a relationship, would you be flirting?
Oh, if I'm in a relationship?
Stuff?
Oh, well, no, I don't do stuff like that. If I'm in a, you know what? Let me not sit on here and lie.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, wait a minute, is there Amen Corner over here?
Mm-hmm.
I will say this. If I'm in a relationship and the person is what I need, I will try my damnedest not to have wandering eyes or flirt with anybody. But if it's a little rocky and stuff like that, you know, I'm not going to say I'm a lay hands and touch and agree on people. But, you know, I may slide a word or two or, you know, do a little kitty laugh or something, you know. But, yeah.
And something else you kind of encounter as well, too, is like when you get to know the person, you're vibing and all of that stuff, and you might have had sex once or twice or something like that, and then they tell you their status. How do you guys feel like about that? Do you feel as though the status should have been told up front, or do you get to wait to know the person, see what their personality is first, and then tell them? Because that was another issue that people brought.
I don't think you should go around telling everybody that. You know
who is
doing something
with their phone?
That is Keisha.
That's not me.
Vaughn, is that you? Okay. To me, personally, I don't feel like, unless you're having sex.
But as I said, I mean, there's one incident where I talked to a friend of mine, because this was posed on the question like yesterday, but I did have talked to a friend of mine. He said that he was getting to know this guy for like a couple of months, and they had sex like 3 or 4 times. And then when things was getting serious, then the person told him.
Ooh.
But don't you think serious is having sex?
Say that again?
Do you think the seriousness is having sex?
Well, yeah, I mean, he said he was protected, of course, but to me, that's kind of drawing the line, you know what I'm saying? But then, like Naima said or somebody said, it's not for everybody to know because first things don't work out. And you know how breakups can be really hard at times. And
mm-hmm.
people be messy. And that's the first thing they put out. So is it good to be guarded or is it wrong to be guarded? You know, at least he told him, but he told him after the fact, so to speak. You know what I'm saying?
But you know what, though, Enrique? I'm going to tell you something. It'd be a lot of people that will have, knowing they know their status, and some who don't know their status, but will have because it's just a have with them. You know, whether they protect themselves or not, people will just have. You know, I'm not saying that the status is taboo now. With some people, it still is. But a lot of people will just be like, well, girl, all he wanted to do was fuck. You know, and then some people will be like, well, you know, the trade or boys, but it takes 2 and 2, though, to tangle with it. Will be like, well, the trade be the first ones or the boys be the first ones to want to go up in you, honey, and not protect it and all this camera noise. So, bitch, oh, well, you know. But is that right, though? Huh?
I mean, let's even say, because he's talking about somebody that he wanted to have a relationship with, because long story short, he's still with the guy. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, to some, that's a happy ending. To some, to others, it's horrible. But just to have, to me, I'd rather for you to tell me up front if we just have him, rather a condom, because condoms can break or whatever the case may be. I'd rather know. I'd rather know that I'm putting myself at risk. You know what I'm saying? Then just worry about, oh, it's just a have. There's nothing for you to worry about.
But everybody's not going to do that, Enrique. You know, everybody's
okay,
not
going to. Okay, hold on, Naima. And Enrique, I love your question. I mean, your topic and stuff, but it kind of is going in a different direction of what we're talking about.
Uh-huh.
As far as the respect factor between Butch Queens and Femme Queens. and that's what they're hitting me up saying. Because this one can get into a very deep, anything when it comes to this, it can get into a very deep thing. But maybe we should just kind of lay off that one just a little bit because they are hitting me up. And I just wanted to kind of stay in topic a little bit. But what else did you talk about when I know you took some polls and stuff. What else did they talk about in general when it comes to the Butch Queens themselves and the respect that they are receiving, you know, again, from relationships or boy? I mean, that, what you said, is also a respect factor.
Well, that is actually respect. But, yeah, but another thing they were saying is respecting the breakup, so to speak. If things don't work, you know, breaking up, you know, pleasantly instead of being really raunchy or putting your mess out there, or as people seen posting your ex pictures out online, because I'm sure that's how a lot of pictures got out there.
I agree.
Or videos
that's
got
really
out there.
Now, that question I really love a lot. And that's what I want to ask everyone before we start changing this up and we go to, you know, we're going to go to J-Rock as well. So we're going to change this up. But yes, why is it that when people break up, they just go for mass destruction? I have actually witnessed it so many times when I have seen people contact the person's job, post a million pictures and videos, call the parents and tell the parents the real tea, what happened with their child, you know, call the landlord and told the landlord some bullshit so the person can try to get evicted. I mean, I could cut, you know, try to hurt him, cut him, destroy the car. And baby, the newest one that I've seen, where they sit there and they turn in every bit of identification, check machines, papers and everything, causing that child to get an additional 14 federal charges because you couldn't take the fact that y'all broke up.
Wow.
You know what, Jasmine? I know that last part I just don't agree with. But some people don't know how to deal with being hurt. They feel like once they've been hurt, then
everybody's
you have
be
to
hurt.
Suffer too.
I got to find a way to get you.
But I have to. You're not going to just walk around and think that, oh, I broke this bitch's heart. Okay, oh, well, and I'm going on to the next bitch. No. So that's how I think a lot of people feel. And because, to me, emotional scars hurt worse than physical scars. Because physical scars are going to heal up and you'll really forget that they were there. Emotional scars, you're stuck with those scars for a lifetime. Mm-hmm. Those are scars that whenever you hear a certain song or whenever you see a certain movie or, you know, a person say a certain mm-hmm. word or do something a certain way, those feelings and those memories start to come back. So people deal with things in a different way. So they feel like, if I'm hurting, I'm not going to sit in this house and just cry because, you know, I really cared about this person. Bitch, you're going to gag. And people just do whatever they feel like is going to hurt them the worst.
Well, that's just cutthroat, though.
All
I mean,
way
wow.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't agree with that. I don't believe in that. I believe number one, in order for you to be in a relationship, you should have some type of bond and friendship at first. And number two, if in your relationship, no matter how long you were together, there has to be some levels of respect. And
mm-hmm.
if there is levels of respect and you guys, if you happen to grow apart or separate and stuff, and as long as you guys continue to respect each other, in the end, then it can be a clean
okay.
breakup. But
yeah, let me ask you this question.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been ever, has anyone on this phone ever been in a relationship where they have put their all?
Yes.
They have been faithful. Mm-hmm. They have done everything that a good wife, husband could ever do
yes.
for a person or to a person.
Uh-huh.
And your spouse completely has drug you because but you feel like you're in love, you really love this person, you've been just emotionally just drugged.
Mm-hmm.
Can I answer that?
Go ahead.
One by one, go ahead.
Okay, this is Keisha. First, I'm going to say this. This is my opinion. Once a cheater, always a cheater, okay? I don't care who's on here, who's going to disagree. My thing is this. Once a cheater, always a cheater. When you break up with someone, that's it. There's no turning back. Because let me tell you something. You can go back with that person. The minute they don't get what they want or the minute y'all get into an argument, what's going to happen? Come on. Let's be realistic. I've always said if I break up with somebody, it's a done deal. We can be friends after, but I will never go back to sour milk. Because I know once I get my feelings up again and get me open and we get into an argument, you know what's going to happen. It's back to square one. I'm not with that anymore. It took me years. It took me time to think about that. When I was younger, I wasn't thinking like that. As I got older, I've always said I would never go back. Never. And I've always felt once a cheater, always a cheater. You might not know it. What you don't know won't hurt you, but you know what the real deal is.
So you believe that people can't change?
No. No.
Oh, okay.
I believe that people can change.
No. They can tell you that.
Okay.
They can tell you that. They can tell you, they can write you a book. They can have you make them sign. But
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that you honestly believe that, and it's not even in a cheating form, that people can't change. Because if that's what you're saying, that people can't change characteristics or people can't change things, then that's your opinion. I think that's your question.
No, no, that's
because
fine. That's,
yeah, because it just goes back to like saying you can't get a person to stop stealing, or you can't get a person. A person can change.
All right, let me ask you a question. Okay, I got a question for you.
Sure.
I can, and I'm gonna put somebody on the spot. Oh God, Naima.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever stole before?
Have I ever stole?
Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to.
No.
It's a point I'm trying to make. It's a point I'm trying to make. Naima, have you ever stole before?
Yeah.
Have you got caught?
Yeah.
Naima, have you ever stole after? Have you ever stole after you got caught? Have you ever stole again? I don't care if it's a lollipop. I don't care if it's a lipstick. I don't care if it's makeup.
Thank you.
My point.
But it's nothing that I practice. But
No. I'm not knocking you. My point is, we can say we won't do it again. We can tell us we're not going to do it again. But if we have a habit or we have done something and we enjoy, we're going to do it again.
Well, you know what? No. That's just one example. You just act Naima. When I was small or younger, I used to steal candy bars and bubble gum and stuff out of the grocery store. Do I still do that now? Absolutely not.
So, Enrique, you've never ever stole. Ever since you got older, you have never ever stole from anything or from a store, or shoplifted anything, stole a match, anything. You never ever stole ever since then.
No. Now, if you ask me if I bought things that were stolen or something like that, yes.
Okay.
Me, myself.
Wait, hold up.
No, but me, myself.
Enrique, that's
because I'm not the one stealing it, because I see where you're going. I'm not the one stealing it. I'm not the one who's doing it or got that. Now, if you're asking me that if I do it, no, I don't.
Enrique, let me say, you know what they charge you with?
Thank you.
Theft.
Thank you.
How are they going to charge me with it?
You want to make a bet?
Okay, hold on. I'm glad we brought this here. Now, Alexis.
Yeah.
Bam. We'll put Alexis on the spot. Now, yeah.
I'm not knocking nobody, because I'm going to be honest with you. No, I'm not knocking you. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't boost, but I have done the same thing. I have bought something. Okay, all right.
I hear your point. It's the same way I'm going to do, the same way you did tonight, because it's the same point that you're making. Now, Alexis, me and you definitely on the same page as far as a lot of things we've done before.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the first thing that you will say after you came home from jail is, and the same thing you say now is, I would never do what got me to go to that place again, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And you work hard every single day not to go back to that place that you were before, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So someone knocking the fact of, or a friend or a family member or something saying, well, oh, my God, yeah, girl, Alexis, girl, oh, yeah, she said she ain't going back. Girl, yeah, she had that credit card in her purse. No, because I am changing, correct?
Correct.
I am doing something different than what I did before that I knew was wrong then.
I did it, but I'm changing now. Don't knock my change.
Vonna, do you know what the difference is? One is a habit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I didn't part of the
hold
habit.
On.
It was
let
for
me. Finish. Let
one
finish.
Is a habit. I had an addiction.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say a habit. I had an addiction.
Right.
Not to drugs, but to fast money.
Yep.
I have an addiction. I have an addiction.
Uh-huh.
And I could sit here and say I'm not going back to jail. And I, deep in my heart, I get up every morning at 6:30 to go to 22 West 34th Street to go to school so that I don't
right.
have to go back.
Have to, right.
But every now and again, you see things are not moving like they used to.
Mm-hmm. This is true.
So guess what you do? You reach up under that mattress, you pull that old book out.
I'm
being serious.
But it takes, but I respect you because it takes a real person to be honest.
See,
it
is different.
And see, people
it is
are,
a difference when you're addicted to something
mm-hmm.
and when you do something. A person that's not faithful,
mm-hmm.
you have some people who are just in that particular relationship. They thought it was one thing and it ended up being something else, so that's what the cheating came from, versus
yeah.
the person who just cheats on every fucking body. I used
because,
to,
yeah, me as
you,
a person, I used to cheat all the time. My last relationship, I thought and I gathered in my mind that I wanted to do something different. I wanted more. I wanted more for our relationship. I wanted
mm-hmm.
more for myself. And it was not the fact that I couldn't change because I sat 2 years and I stopped doing everything, whether it was having phone numbers, whether it was other boys. If someone would even speak to me when that man wasn't around, the first thing I'll say is, you can ask my husband when you see him. I knew what I wanted to do, so I did it. It didn't take the fact that, oh, my God, I'm so tempted. Oh, my God, I got to. Yeah, I was a cheater. I cheated on every relationship I've ever been in besides my last one, every single one of them. And I'm not. And I still, to this very moment, 2.5 years later into it, have not cheated on that man. I have no desire to.
Shout out to the new fake profile, Kelly Price, on Facebook.
What the
all
heck?
Right. J-Rock, we are going to go to you because we have a couple of callers, and I'm not going to talk about all this on that. I'm going to get into the next topic. So, J-Rock, anything you wanted to share with us about, you know, the Butch Queen issues? I know last week you had a lot to say on Facebook after our topic. Anything you wanted to talk about?
One thing that was... that I have to say that after last week, like, I learn stuff all the time. After last week, I found a new respect. Like, everybody know from y'all talking to me, or either if you really know me, y'all know that I really love, you know, the transgender women. I feel like we don't treat them right, or either we should protect them, because it's like these are our women. Because the straight society don't, if they knew their tea, they would treat them like freaks. I'm just being honest. Because that's what they're going to call you, a freak. So I feel very overprotective of transgendered women because I feel like I have an obligation to make sure, even though you can fight for yourself or whatever, these are my women. Now, I got a newfound respect after I found out a lot of things that you guys go through, but as y'all were saying the things y'all go through, I'm like, y'all, I mean, I don't know, is it because y'all were going through the transgender part or something like that, but Butch Queens go through a lot of stuff, too, that I'm like, when y'all were Butch Queens, because some people were Butch Queens for a while, some people transgender, y'all went through y'all changes early, but some of the things that Butch Queens go through, like me, I'm a Butch Queen that's not, this may be shocking to y'all, I'm not comfortable. I'm not comfortable with myself, and everybody know that. What did I do? I come out to ballroom to walk what? European runway. To be comfortable. Now I'm starting to break out of my shell, starting to maybe do some more effects. Why do I always tell people stuff like, why do I have to get in that effect? I'm damn near in drag. But it's time to say, look, this is who you are. This,
mm-hmm.
You're gay. You can't change it. Instead of beating up on yourself, because ever since I've been watching that movie, The Secret, you know,
the laws of attraction, if you keep thinking negative about your life, negativity is going to come to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm like, if I keep thinking what I'm doing is wrong, no matter how successful I am, no matter where my drive comes from or whatever, it's still going to end up negative because I'm not accepting myself. I can smile at everybody every day, but you got butch queens out there. Like, when you're in a job like mine, that's why I'm so glad Don't Ask, Don't Tell went away. Do you know how hard it was to talk to anybody while you're in the military? Because if it does not work out, that motherfucker goes steal your tea and ruin your career. Jasmine, I'm not lying. I had already said to myself, the day somebody come up to my motherfucking office with some punk bullshit, that's the day. Because what me, the Navy is my life. And everybody know that. So if you take that away from me, bitch, I'm going to kill you. And that was just it. Why? Because I feel like if you know where I came from and what my background is with the drugs, the violence, and everything from South Dallas, back when people was killing and everything, I got out of that. I didn't have to sell drugs. I didn't have to do what the family did. I didn't have to be a part of the family business. So I escaped. For a fucking another butch queen, you know, to come up to my job and take that away from me, I couldn't talk to nobody. It's hard to talk to people because you don't know if they're going to spill your tea and get you kicked out of whatever you worked hard for. So when it said Don't Ask, Don't Tell was released, I can now come out to the ballroom. Why? Because if you do spill my tea, girl, it's nothing. So what?
You know.
You see what I'm saying? So, but then I found that I'm not comfortable. It's hard because now I done been in, you know, my straight lifestyle so long, I still have a problem, and that's what makes me come out more. So that's why I really pay chops or whatever. Bitch, I'm walking because I'm trying to find myself. I'm trying to feel myself. I'm trying to get myself, you know what I'm saying, in this gay world, this gay society or something like that. So, and now I'm starting to come out a little bit more because it's easy to walk, what, American runway. Bitch, I'm in the military. I can walk American runway, but that's not what I want to do. I'm trying to step outside the box. This is the only time I have to be me, to be gay, you know, and other underlying agendas with helping out the community. This is my community. This is who you are. That's why I'm so passionate about helping other gay people, protective of my transgender women, because I know I had a problem with it, and I know I may have people that's going through that. I mean, butch queens go through a lot of stuff too, but I'm like, and like when you said that y'all call people a faggot and stuff like that, I started to ask the question, what about the person that don't act like a fag? They don't act like a fag. They just act like a, you know, what we, what society would call a normal average man. You know, some, you know, like every day, all day, anybody can tell you that I'm an average man, but then we have a disagreement. Or
but
we
see,
get into
but
an
that's the,
argument.
J-Rock, hence the term butch queen.
Right. So my thing is butch queen. Okay, so now I queen out, right? Because we're in a disagreement.
But see,
then you
and
just
that,
queen.
And then you go to the derogatory thing of saying,
No. I think you missed my point, J-Rock. When I said a fag is every day, all day. That is their life. You see them hanging with the cunts. They got the brown, the honey-colored contacts, the cut-up shorts, the cut-up T-shirt, and Miss Stein.
The big fake bag.
Yes, they got the big Gucci bag.
So that's what I'm saying. So when that you did, I did understand that. So my thing is, if you meet somebody like me, you know about me, you know everything about me, and you don't think of me as a fag or nothing like that. So what you're telling me is when the word faggot come out, it's not because you think I'm a faggot, it's because you press because you're not winning this argument.
Oh, well, no, I not me.
Oh, okay, because that's what I'm saying. You
I
feel like that's very derogatory. Why would you call me a faggot? Like, because that's what I'm thinking about. I'm not the one that's going to go out there and, like, yes, ma'am, thank you, Jake, bitch, yeah, oh, yeah, bitch. And
so, but, like, you know, but let's be honest, it happens with straight people as well. You know, it just happens, you know, arguments come and, you know, the first thing that you can say to a strong, independent black woman or in general, the first time you get into an argument when you say that word and the way you say it, like, you fucking bitch, you know, it's like, what?
Oh.
That's the ultimate word you can say, you know, and then it's like, bitch, you know, everything happens from there. Same thing when it comes to us, you know, you fucking man, what?
Ugh.
You know, or you fucking faggot. You know, it's like, you know, we just all go through it. You know, it's just a part of being harsh and being catty. But thank you, J-Rock, because you definitely did bring up some pointers. You definitely did. I want to go through some callers really quickly because a lot of people have pressed one. And we're going to try to turn this topic into the second part of the show because I know that we have some special listeners out there, and I want to get to them before it gets too late. So the first caller that we have really quickly, let me go down the line. Jason, Lana, and Marie. His name is J-Rock. Okay, 201-360, you're on the air.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Jasmine, Alexis, Lana, J-Rock.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, listen, on the subject about the word faggot, I mean, to me, it's just a word, you know what I mean? In all actuality, it's just a stick or a branch if you really get into it. I mean, you know, like Jasmine said, faggot comes within the straight community as referring to us as just being gay, you know, so to take it that way with each other, calling each other faggots when we use the word nigga with each other and other people use the word nigger and we get offended, I think it's just a little crazy to me. But
cliche.
Yeah, it really is. As far as the butch queens respecting femme queens, I think it's a must, but, you know, in the community within ourselves, but you have to also realize, like Alexis said, every femme queen is not a lady, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just certain femme queens that will not get that respect because they have no respect for themselves. And if that's the way it's going to go, then you have to also realize that, you know, people are going to treat you the way you treat yourself sometimes and how you treat other people. So if you're mean and nasty and faggoty as a femme queen, then how do you think other people are going to treat you?
Okay. Well, thank you, Mark. I really appreciate it. Enrique, are you back?
Yeah, I just had to switch phones. I'm sorry.
Okay. The next caller is, I think she said her name was Amina or something. Amina, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
What did you want to talk about?
The second topic. It was regarding the fathers, right?
Okay, we're going to come back to you in a few minutes, okay?
Okay.
When we start that, we're going to come back to you in a few minutes. So I'm going to put you back on hold. And the next
can I take you back on what J-Rock said?
Who
was that?
Go ahead. Who was that said that?
That was me, Keisha.
Lord,
okay, go ahead.
So, you know, I got to say one thing. The reason why I enjoy this show Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday is because everyone on this top, everybody I can relate to, and when J-Rock's mentioned tonight has something to do with me. Because J-Rock, in case you didn't know, the reason why I came for you the first time I met you on here was because I was also in the military. I was in Army Reserve, in case you guys didn't know. It's 94 Bravo. And so that's why I was fucking with you. But see, a lot of things y'all don't know about me, and when you get to know me, it's a lot. And the boy, I was always the type very on the low, low, very insecure. I'm still not secure with my sexuality. I may not appear to be, but I'm still not secure. I'm still in denial with my family. And still to this day, at the age of 32, I'm still lying. My mom, my best friend says my mom knows, but to this day, I'm still not secure. When I go to work, I'm straight up a man. I'm not no gay man. I'm not a feminine man. I'm a man. Because the day that I decide to come out and act like a faggot, guess what? They're going to set me up and they're going to fail me. I mean, they're going to fire me. And the day they fire me, it's going to be on. I don't want to go through all of that. I don't want to go through all of that. I don't work too hard. I don't went to school. I didn't accomplish everything I wanted for me to get now be called a faggot in the workplace. Oh, no. Hell no. No, 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 no. So when I heard J-Rock's story, that hit me so well. And I said, I'm not the only person that's going through a lot, and I can't be who I am, okay? A lot of things I wanted to do when I was younger, I couldn't do because if I did it, I'd be called a faggot, a sissy, a homosexual. Although I was called that, but I was much like, okay, you call me that, but I'm going to still fuck you up because I knew how to fight when I was a little kid. But in all reality, I can relate to all of y'all, and that's why I enjoy this show, okay? And J-Rock, I respect you because I understand what you're going through.
Well, that is very shocking because
me and Jasmine just talked about that when she said, bitch, when Keisha came for you about that $69,000, you went in. That ain't no money. Bitch, that is the, let me tell you, that is the key of Houston, Texas. Every time they see me, they say, hey, J-Rock, you don't make no money. I said, bitch, that motherfucking Keisha.
J-Rock, so, I was only messing with you because, let me tell you something, I was in the military too. And I can relate. And I didn't know who you were. And usually, not seeing you, the stigma with a lot of butch queens, they always want to lie and they want to make their credentials more than what it really is. You already know that. Okay,
right.
And in reality, the ones who always want to raise the credentials, they don't do nothing. They don't work. All they do is boo, stale, or whatever the case may be. But a real bitch who has money, she's not going to let you know what she has because everybody wants, gimme, gimme, can I borrow? Your sister, brother, can I have? No, work like I do. Okay.
That is so true. That is so
that's
true.
Probably why,
can,
that's probably
I, can,
why
I
everybody wanna, out, that's probably why everybody was coming to me asking me for shit.
I want to piggyback on something you said, Keisha. Keisha, I work with heterosexual men all day long. I work with men coming home from prison all day long, and I am comfortable in my skin. My coworkers know my tea, and the men that come in and out their door know my tea. I have been called faggot. I have been called miss. I have been called whatever. And the same men that are calling me that, I have six or seven other men jumping up to defend me because I'm comfortable with who I am. When you walk around at work, at school or wherever, and you're not comfortable with yourself, you're unhappy. And that makes people attack you because they says, well, if this bitch think it's something wrong with them, then it's something wrong with them. And since they think it's something wrong with them, I'm going to feed on that, and I'm going to attack them with that. When I took all the power out of all of that, and the guys come around, and the women on my job is like, well, they walk you out to your car. They walk, ask you, do you want something to eat, before they ask us, because I command respect. I'm a man before I was gay. So you're going to still treat me like the man that I am. So when you and J-Rock get to that place where you actually become comfortable with yourself, bitch, it's a wonderful feeling.
It is. And I have to jump on that because he's absolutely right, Keisha. Because I have the same thing. Because everybody knows that my job as well. And it's just a way, you have to command respect, you know what I'm saying? Because there is another homosexual that works with me, and he's not confident, and they stick with him all the time, to the point where I have to step in for him. But they won't say anything to me, and once I step in for him, they instantly stop. It's just a confidence level. Once you have that confidence level, you can't touch it. And they know it can't be broken, so you just got to get that within yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Not you, Enrique. Well, not you, Enrique, but Jason. This is what I was going to ask you, though. Because think about that. When you come up, because I'm pretty sure Keisha can relate to this one. If how are you? Like, say for instance, let's not talk about the people in the workplace or nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about how you was raised. You fighting within yourself. Now, me being raised, that I'm going straight to the bottomless pit of hell. Or something that I did not ask to be, or somebody telling me that somebody must have touched you when you were little. Ain't nobody touched me. I might have touched a couple of people, but nobody has touched me. You know what I'm saying? So or somebody was in front of you who you might have seen that picked up on it. You know, so, you know, you fight within yourself because everybody condemned when you grow up. Even though y'all saying all that, it sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
I can go out there and apply that, but at the end of the day, I have to fight that demon within me saying, "Oh, you know, that's wrong. That's the hard part right there."
And I respect that. But see, I have a problem with one thing you just said. I have a problem with one word you just said, and that one word is demon.
And I understand
how you were brought up, but that's going to lead us into, and I will
a
go back into
subject.
That. When we,
and
we
are
go.
About to cut this short.
I'm not going to do the reading. But I do want to say something to J-Rock. All right. J-Rock, you are speaking to a person who, at the age of 8, put their first dick in their mouth.
Oh, shit, at 8?
Carl, okay. I need a drink.
I need
willingly?
Two drinks.
Willingly.
Forcefully.
Willingly.
Oh,
okay.
Word.
During all that time, those years, you're talking to a girl who sung in the choir, who sung in the church choir, who sung in the community choir, who was raised in church.
Usher.
And I sit in church. I was put out of the choir because I decided in 2002 that I wanted to do a drag show. Right? That hurt me so bad. It took such a major part of me out that I have never been back in another community choir. Well, a few years after that, well, guess what happened? The guy that put me out was exposed for sleeping with another guy in the choir. That's not even the point I'm trying to make. Believing in, just going to church and want to be something that you feel like is trapped on the inside of you, it's not a good feeling. So I understand where you're coming from. But at the same time, you have to realize you have to live your life for you. My mother, when I first made my transition. Hello?
We're here.
Is that Naima falling out like that?
No, I'm not.
Okay. when I made my transition, when I went home, and I would go home, and I would have, like, I'll never forget the first time I got out of jail and went home. My mom was sending money to Chicago for me to buy clothes. Well, did she know I was going to Ashley Stewart? And I had this just dress on, and Tanya had gave me some clothes when I came home, and I went home. She, my mom said, "What the hell you got on?" She knew I was gay, even though I denied it. She knew I was gay, but she never knew about the other side. So the last time that I went to jail, I sat down and I wrote a letter, and I told my mom, I said, I will not go into the new year living a lie. I said, I'm transsexual. I said, I live my life like this, and I'm happy. I'm content. Because they answer, when they see me, it's, hey young lady, hey big girl, whatever. You know what I'm saying? But I'm content with myself. So you have to find a place where you can be content with who you are versus worrying about what everybody else has to say.
Okay. At J-Rock, you got
her? I caught it.
Okay, cool. Let's get to a couple of callers, and I want to switch the topic because it is at that mark. If you guys are on the phone line, you want to press 1 to touch up on this really quickly, please press 1. If you just pressed 1, you might have got out the host queue, so stop pressing it. It seems like I'm losing people again. Jason.
I'm here.
Okay, Ivana.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, Alexis, Naima, J-Rock, Keisha. Amina is for the next topic. Enrique, 770374.
Yes, hi. Good evening. How is everyone?
Hello.
I wanted to just back up a little bit. I was thinking about when you guys were talking about the word faggot, and I was thinking, you know, the reason why the word itself is so painful to some people is because it's associated when we were younger, and when we're kind of going through that phase of identity of who we are, people in the neighborhood identify you as the faggot boy. Oh, that's the faggot that's around the corner. That's the faggot that's upstairs. And it's associated with so much that it does torment you when you hear another adult say it, because it kind of brings you back to the place where it was hurtful or when it was hurtful. You know, and I heard someone say they learn to take the power out of the word. Sometimes it's hard to do when, you know, you hear it, you've heard it so often, and you kind of associate not yourself with it, but it's attached to pain. You know, when you were being humiliated, when people didn't want to play with you because they thought you was a little gay boy up the street, and it makes it very difficult at times. I think for me, when I started transitioning in high school, so it was very early. I didn't go through the butch queen phase because I went from 10th grade, I was already a girl, you know, living in New York, which is different. But when I realized that even now that I'm a woman now, I still live in denial about who I am, because it's hard to tell people that this is who you are. This is what I once was. No one understands that. You know, it's not understandable. And I think one of the panelists says you become a freak, they call you a freak, and that's true. No matter how real you look, and they find out that that was once your identity, they attach it to you. They attach that word to you, that I don't want to say man, but the male word, they attach it to you. And I think as transgender, it's so hard to, once they know the truth about you, it's hard to convince them otherwise, no matter how they see you. It's hard for you to convince them that no matter whether they're attracted to you or not, they still see you in that light because of what society has given you. You know, and I do believe that, you know, the gay male population with the transgender community or the whatever the femme queen population, the reason why there's such a disconnect between us is because, one, a lot of times when they do get upset with us, they do want to attach that male pronoun to us because they know what we once were, if they know that. And they don't understand that, I've said this before, that it has nothing to do with, you know, my sexual preference. It's an identity thing. And when you don't understand that, you associate my biological birth to what I am currently. You know, and okay. it is unfair on both notes.
All right. Well, thank you, caller, as always. I'm going to go to a couple of callers really quickly, and then we are changing this up because now we are 1 minute past the mark. Sean. My newfound listener, do you have anything you want to talk about, Sean?
Yes. Well, I have an issue, and I hope you guys don't judge me, you know, when I talk about this particular issue. I've been dealing in this situation for, about 6 years. And, okay, well, I'm going to get right to it. Okay, I've been dealing with this guy or whatever, and he's, he says that he's bisexual, but because I've known him for, 6 years in the beginning, you know, I thought he was telling the truth, but I can tell he's not bisexual. And the thing about it is he's an escort.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so he's an escort, and I've been seeing him for 6 years. And I've just gotten to the point where I just don't like the way that he treats me, these last few months or whatever. It's just disrespectful or whatever. And I've been seeing him for so long that I probably might have even put him through college, to be honest with you. So it's just, I'm trying to figure out how do I deal with him because he says he's into, masculine guys. And I'm not masculine. I'm feminine. I'm the total opposite. And it's so funny because, you know, with the femme queens or whatever the case is, they like the tradie boys. At least some of them like the tradie boys. Now, the thing is that the butch queens, I like butch queens. But they're not attracted to me. They don't like me because I'm feminine. But the tradie boys, I don't know. I can't go nowhere in a particular area that I live in Brooklyn. They just follow me or whatever. And I don't like them. You know, I'm not into them or whatever.
Ooh, so, can I go first? Can I go first?
No, we're not going to do a go first. We're going to take one person is going to answer his question, and then we're going to move on. Now, Jason, do you want to do it, or does somebody else want to do it?
I want to do it.
Ooh.
When you say that you paid for, you're basically paying for him to go to college, are you paying him have you been paying to be with him for the last 6 years?
Yes, I have.
Ooh. Okay, one, that's not a relationship.
No, it's not at all. I'm not delusional.
Okay.
I know very well what I'm doing.
Okay, so because you're paying him, there is no emotional bond there. I don't know how feminine you are because I've never met you. I've never been in your presence. But there are butch queens that are attracted to feminine guys. I find them all the time. Maybe you might need to broaden your horizons where you go. If you want to hit me up on Facebook, you can become my Facebook friend and we can talk further off of here because we do have other things to do. But where I how I feel about that situation is that you're saying that the trade is following you around. They're probably following you around because one of the habits that happen is that when trades see someone feminine, they will follow them because they think that that bitch will shake their purse because that's the only way they can be with them.
Opportunist.
Opportunist, okay. Right. Okay.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Sean. And just hit Jason up on Facebook. You can find him in the official Ballroom Radio Station chat on Facebook. The next caller is 803-521. You're on the air.
Oh, shit. Yeah, mind you, I lied in. So, I hate you, bitch. You not even a fucking room host.
What?
Yeah, I even listen to 11 o'clock.
Thank you, caller.
We're going to act like that.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I'm not on Tuesday night. I am so glad this is my Tuesday. Can
okay.
We move on?
347-462, you're on the air.
Hello. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hi, Sheba.
This is Kiana. Hello,
oh,
everybody. I was just listening to your conversation, and I wanted to touch on the respect factor. It shouldn't matter what gender you are. I always feel like you have to give respect in order to get it back. That's how I feel.
Well,
everybody got quiet.
Oh, they got. No, I just don't like that. You have to give it first in order to receive it back. You
well,
know?
What about when you do give it and you still don't get it?
Yeah. Oh, wait, hold back. Is that Keisha? Hold
well,
Keisha,
was,
please. Don't cut me.
That's
okay,
not
Ema.
That's not Ema, Kiana.
Okay, calm down. Don't fight me all, please. Jeez.
Uh-oh.
I'm just a messenger.
Well.
That is true. And I just think that people have their own insecurities within themselves, their struggles within themselves, because I call them, people that I call them is called Bitter Barbaras. That's what I call them. I call them Bitter
Dottie
Barbaras.
Karate. Dottie Karate.
Yeah, shut up, Keisha. I'm going to call them a Bitter Barbaras, because when you're that miserable and you want to, like, you know, fiend on everybody else's, rain on everybody's happiness and parade, it really makes you wonder, like, what's really going on with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes in order, we need to look into our inner selves in order to before anything else.
Uh-huh.
And
okay.
That's all I wanted to say. And, you know, keep
thank
you're doing
you.
A wonderful job on your show. And thank you for having me on.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, I think we lost Enrique. I'm getting lost with all this stuff that's happening. Enrique, are you back? Vanna, Alexis, Naima, J-Rock, Keisha. Okay. Yeah, I think we lost Enrique, but we are going to wait. Well, we're going to go back to him. Actually, we're going to play a couple of commercials really quickly, and then we are going to go back to... come back with our new topic. So let me set up the commercials and we'll be right back. The switchboard is acting really funny. We'll be right back.
Rodney Prodigy and James Icon present What's in the Name Part 2. Saturday, November 10th in New York City. Grand prize, $1,000 for Old Way. Make us believe you're back in the 80s. Grand prize number 2, open to all legendary runway for $1,000. Other cash categories include mini grand prize, open to all streetwear for $300, as well as open to all runway, the casting call for $500, sponsored by the Mocha Center. That's Saturday, November 10th in New York City. Admission, $30 all night. Tables, $150. The location, The Light Box, 841 Barreto Street, Bronx, New York. For more information, contact Father James Icon or Father Rodney Prodigy via Facebook or visit the event page for more info.
Radio presents The Awakening Ball, Saturday, November 3rd in Pittsburgh, PA. Are you ready? Your grand prizes include Butch Queen Runway, The Trickster for $1,000. Team Performance, The Assassins for $1,000. As well as legendary Femme Queen Performance, The Queen of the Throne for $1,000. Mini grands include Butch Queen Vogue Femme, The Battle Cat, as well as Realness with a Twist, The Double Take. Over $7,500 in cash and trophies presented by the House of Valentino. The Awakening Ball, Saturday, November 3rd at the Hazelwood YMCA. The address, 4213 Chatsworth Street in Pittsburgh. Admission, $30 all night. Tables, $150 in advance, $200 at the door. Your commentators include The Icon, Jack Mizrahi, Icon, Selvin Khan, Legendary Kevin J.C. Prodigy, and Jukebox Valentino. The House of Valentino presents The Awakening Ball, November 3rd in Pittsburgh, PA. For more information, visit Facebook and the event page for up-to-date info on the event. Over $7,500 in cash and trophies. Get ready, girls.
October 27th, 2012. The CEO and founder, Mother Jasmine Couture, brings to you a new collection. A collection of horror, a collection of mystery and suspense. Come bear witness in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., as Mother Jasmine Couture brings to you the scariest night in ballroom history, Gagoween. Grand prize, open to all legendary performance for $6,000. The mystery, 666. That's 16 captains, 6 teams, and a mystery femme queen per team, Gagoween. Other cash categories include Butch Queen Runway, The Walking Dead, open to all foot and eye, designers from beyond the grave, Team Realness, Children of the Corn, Butch Queen Sex Siren, The Candy Man. That's right, in a special category that I'm calling The Grudge. Six of today's hottest divas are invited to settle their score at Gagoween. Three grudge matches, $1,000 each, with the grand prize thickening throughout the event. Mother Temptress, the overall mother Didi Chanel, says she wants a rematch at a big ball. Mother Kelly, the icon Mother Shay Shay Chanel, says it was only a Wednesday night mini ball. Get over it and bring it to Gagoween. And legendary Mother Sasha Garcon and the icon Mother Sanaya Ebony, which one of you are the true ladies of Sex Siren? That's right, three grudge matches. Three divas will win $1,000 each. But how much more will be raised at Gagoween? Find out October 27th in Washington, D.C. For more information, contact Jasmine Couture directly or subscribe to Jasmine Couture's Facebook page for up-to-date info on the event. Over $10,000 in grand prizes, history will be made once again. Gagoween.
All right, everybody, we are coming back live on the air after our commercial break. That's October 27th for Gagoween. It's going to be a big ball, so it has a lot of stuff going on. Make sure you guys get your tables if you're house members. So if you, especially if you guys are team captains, you definitely need to get your tables. The audience will be playing a major role in some gagging factors that night with different categories. So you definitely want to be a part of that. I'm bringing everybody back on. I think, I don't know if this is Enrique or not. 803-521, you're on the air.
That's not him.
Okay. Well, I don't know who that is, but your phone is carrying. Please call back in. All right. So we pretty much have everybody in the line. I'm just going to do a quick little roll call. Jason, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. Keisha?
I'm here.
J-Rock?
I'm here.
Naima, Alexis?
Mm-hmm.
Alexis, you there?
I'm here.
Okay, and Vonna, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, cool. And Mark, I see you still hanging around. I'm gonna bring you on. Mark, you there?
Hello.
Yeah. Hi.
Hi.
Okay. I'm gonna have you sit with us because I don't know where Enrique went. Enrique, call back in and press one if you want to stay on with this topic. And Amina, I do still see you there. And anyone else that wants to press one during this topic, please do, and I will bring you on. I got a request from someone in reference to the topic that we're going to go into. And the topic itself is based on growing up in a household that does not have a father or a father figure within it. And what do you guys feel, the listening audience? What do you guys feel about that? How did it play a role in your life? Does it affect your train of thought on life itself? Do you maybe blame a lot of the issues that you have faced in life on that? Does it just kind of
who's going first? That's all I want to know.
Hold on a second. We're gonna go down the line. So hold on. Basically, just a lot of the things that affect you when you grow up in a household without a father. And we're just talking about that household. Now, we know that there's many different households out there. You have strong, independent mothers that are out there who are single moms, and they have to play the role of mommy and daddy to raise the children. We have people that grow up with no mother or no father. You have people that grew up only with their father. We have people that grew up in foster care and group homes and all the rest of that stuff. But what we are talking about is the fact that having a father, but the father and you are not in communication, they are not reaching out to you. And how does it affect you, or if it does affect you in your life as a young adult now, a gay individual, how does it affect you? So we're going to go down the line. Just your opinion on it and what you feel. We're going to start with Vonna. And again, if you know you have a loud background, please mute your phone because I hear TVs, computers, and music and stuff. So I don't want to just start muting everybody and go back one-on-one. But Vonna, we're going to start with you. What is your opinion on this topic?
My opinion on the topic is probably kind of hacks for most people, but it's just the truth. I don't think people should have an excuse about not having a father or a mother or anybody. You know, it's people that are extremely successful and extremely well-off and extremely stable in their lives without anyone in their lives. So whatever you choose to do in your life is a personal choice. It has nothing to do with the background that you may have. To me, it's just an excuse.
Okay. You feel that it's just basically an excuse?
Yes.
Okay. Now, what about the individual if they feel that they just want to have that bond, or they just want to know what it feels to have that bond with a masculine figure, a father? You know, that they feel that they were cheated out of their childhood, the father that should have been there their first day of school, the father that should have been there when they had their first girlfriend, the father that should have been there when they first was picked to be on a school team and play basketball or soccer, the father that was there to see him go off to the prom, you know, the father that was just there to teach him how to be a man. He never felt that he had a chance to be, or to know what it felt like to, you know, am I going in the right direction? Is that how I'm supposed to be? Is this how I'm supposed to be? I don't even know what it's supposed to, you know, no one was there to teach me how to be a man. What do you feel about the people who feel that way?
I mean, if you want someone in your life that's different, and you can want somebody and you can want the bond and you can want the relationship and all that, it's fine. But to make an excuse to why you're doing bad or why you're depressed or why you're hurt or why you can't succeed in life, now you're making excuses. But if you just want the love and the companionship and stuff, then that's fine and go for it. And if you don't have it in your life, then put that bond and that relationship into God or into something else. Because you don't need someone to validate who you are, whether it's a parent, whether it's a lover, whether it's a friend. You can validate yourself.
Okay. What would you say to the individual that has tried numerous times over and over and over to reach out to their father, but their father does not make an effort to reach back out? They have to go through the grandmother, the aunt, so forth and so on, and the father just does not reach back out. What do you say to that young man that is continuously trying and traumatized over it, but they are not getting what they want? What would you say to them?
That you don't need, if you've tried, you've done the best that you can do, then that's all that you can, that's all you can hold on to. You can't force anybody to do anything in your life. You've given it your best shot, and then prove to them why they should be in your life. Prove to them that you didn't need them in your life. Prove to them that you can be a successful person whether you have anyone. You don't need them. You love them, you want them, but you don't need them.
Okay. Alexis, we're going to go on to you. What is your opinion on all this?
Whew, I had to put my phone on mute, Jasmine. I was cursing over here.
I know. Go ahead, sweetie.
Okay.
I need to hear it.
This is my thing. Once again, I grew up with no father, and I think I grew up, turned out to be fine, you know. Life is about decisions and chances and choices that one must make. I feel like, well, it depends, because me, like I said, I started off at a very young age, and I knew where my life, I didn't know where it was going to lead to this, but I knew I was going to be gay. Okay, so... the question is, are you happy with yourself? Because I don't need anyone to validate who I am. I don't need a father figure in my life. And my father tries to reach out to me from time to time, but I'm good. I'm good. I lived with my family up until I was 25. And January of 2005, I packed up my stuff and I moved to Atlanta. And ever since then, I've just been moving further and further away. You know, Tyler Perry's movie, The Family That Prays, what's the white lady name?
Kathy Bates.
Kathy Bates. She asked Alfred Woodard a question. She said, "Are you living or are you simply existing?" And people have to learn that in life you have to live. You have to learn how to live for self. And if you want your father in your life and he doesn't want to be in your life, just keep on moving. Never let no one that doesn't want to be in your life hinder you from moving on. Are you just going to sit around and just soak because people don't want to be? No, you keep on moving. And you show them and prove to them that you missed out on something very good, whether it's a father, a mother, a lover, whoever. Life is about you and what you make out of it. Don't let nobody hinder or dictate your future.
Okay. Thank you, Alexis. Naima, your opinion.
Well,
My father was only around for child support. And the only reason why he was around that much is because my mother told him that if you didn't give me any child support, then I'll go to court and have them to make you give me more. So he was only around for that. He would come to, you know, my different meetings I would have at school and stuff like that. But my father, to me, really wasn't. He was more of like a coin than he was a father, because when it came to issues in school that I used to have, you know, when I was trying to find myself, when I was in the closet and things of that sort of what have you like that, he will always side with the teachers. Like, this is a journey for me, so I'm not gonna be long with it. But my father really wasn't a father like that for me. And even as me getting older and living my life as a woman, like, he doesn't even acknowledge that I even live my life as a woman. Like, when I go over there and see him, you know, it's whatever. So my mother was my mother and my father and everything else to me.
Okay.
I guess I don't miss what I never had.
Okay, let me ask Vonna, Alexis, and Naima as female figures. Do you guys feel if you had that father in your life that was there to guide you from your childhood to your teenage years, your young adult years, that you would still be who you are today?
Yes, I would still be who I am.
Okay, Alexis?
Nope. I mean, I will still be who I am.
Okay, and Naima?
If he, are you asking the question, if he was in my life and acted as a father role?
If he was in your
role?
Life, not as, yeah, as a father role, not, you know, for the court.
Would you still be Naima, or would you be,
I don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know? Okay.
Uh-uh.
Do you guys ever blame your childhood and your upbringing for who you are today, as far as your blame your family for it?
No, because I have my mom and my father in my life, and still to this day I do, and accept who I am very wholeheartedly. My name changed with the process of my parents. So, no, I mean, I don't blame them for anything.
Okay, and Alexis, do you blame it?
No, I don't blame my childhood because my mother instilled a lot of values in me, and once again, mm-hmm. I make decisions that she wasn't happy with. She still stood by my side through all the times of me going back and forth to jail. And, I mean, you can't blame your parents. And I hate to hear when people, oh, my mama wasn't there for me. Well, guess what? Mine was. And I still was a shit.
Mm-hmm. I had this talk with Mark last night. And we're going to get to Mark in a minute. But, yeah, you know, that does happen. Okay, that was the three girls. Let me go to the boys. And I'm sorry, Keisha, I don't know what to call you.
I'm a boy.
No. Okay.
Keisha is my little, that's my little alter ego, my little character. But I'm a boy.
And that's why I didn't want to include you with the girls. But,
no.
All right, J-Rock, what is your opinion on this whole topic?
Well, for me, it was kind of a traumatizing issue because everything's going to be overdramatic for me, so y'all probably, God damn it. But anyways, when I was 4, I lost my father. So my thing was, it was like, when you see your father every day, I had that daddy that was like, so like now that I'm grown, it bothers me now because I start thinking about how he looked at me, how the things he did, and as a grown-up that's really, you know, overprotective of his nieces and nephews because I love children. I now understand why he used to do the things he do. He had that glow in his eyes when he seen me like, this is my son. He treated me like, this is my boy. And when I turned 4, for him to just fly off a bridge and die, it was just like traumatizing, if you ask me, because every time I grow up, it's like I was like, he was gone. It took me to almost like 12 years old to just really just to set in that you are never, ever going to see your father again. So now I have this animosity towards people that, like, and it's nothing against anybody because you feel the way you feel about your father, but I have, like, this animosity against people that, like, say, for instance, the father, get right, because everybody is a human. Everybody have their issues they go through. When they finally wake up and they click, I hate it when people try to get things right and they say, you ain't nothing a motherfucking father to me. You ain't did nothing to me. That kind of hurts me because I be saying, well, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to hear about your situation because I don't have a father to get it right with. You see what I'm saying? My father died when I was 4, so I don't have that chance to get it right, you know.
And growing up, how has it affected me? Good thing I had a strong black grandmother that took 8 children after raising her 5 to raise my mother's children. And she used to always tell me, guess what? Life sucks, get used to it. As a child, life sucks, get used to it. If you go around saying, well, you know, I don't know how to do this, well, if I had a, she was like, you need to find out who you are. I can't really tell you how to be a man. All I could do is take you to church. Maybe you can find you a mentor. Find somebody that you feel like fits the character of father figure. And I think that's what led me to JROTC in 7th grade. They're going through ROTC, getting in the, you know, the Navy, getting, like, now I done made such a high pedestal to nobody can be a father figure to me, because that's when I just, like you say, go, like, put your time and your feelings into something else, and I just said, let me be a good uncle. Let me be a good uncle, because I don't know if I ever have a child, but right now, Uncle Cedric is the best uncle, and they can't tell me I'm not to my nieces and nephews, so that's my experience.
Okay, and that's a good point. Basically, you know, take everything that you were looking for as, you know, from your father and put that into maybe the next person and be the best, because now you can give that individual things that you always was craving for, or, you know, what you felt in your life that was neglected from you. So that definitely is a good one. J-Rock, Keisha, your opinion?
Well, I grew up with a mother and a father. I was a spoiled little brat. My father died when I was 12 years old. And from what my mother was to tell me, that she didn't think that I was going to grow up to be a successful person. Growing up as a child, was a spoiled brat, always in trouble. Just like nobody wanted to be around me. Oh, here comes, they used to call me Reese. Here comes Reese, oh, the spoiled brat, oh. And when my father passed at the age of 12, it just took a toll towards me and my mother. And, you know, my mother had to really, like, she had to really, like, you know what, be the mother and the father. Now, I remember when I was growing up, I was playing with dolls. I did the feminine things, and I had a father figure. My father tried to get me to do the man things, play the softball. But for some reason, I've always was tuned into the female side of things. But I would do it on the low, and if my father would find me, he would whip me and tell me, no, you don't do that. That's not for you. But to make the story short, my father died when I was 12. I kind of did a 360, and I matured. I had to work with my mother. I had to do things. And, you know, I would have to say, not having a man in your life is not going to determine it by you being straight or gay, because you can have a mentor, you can have siblings, you can have other male figures if you feel you need that male figure in your life. So having a father is not going to determine your sexuality, I don't think. That's my opinion.
Well, I don't think it was only based on the sexuality part, but I know that you know, was brought up. But it's based on, you know, the whole functioning as a young adult, you know, basically, you know, maybe they just don't know how to be, or they're still trying to find themselves on how to be that man. You know, they don't know how to be a man in life. Not, you know, not saying they're feminine or anything like that, but just maybe they just don't know how to be a man. You know, the responsibilities,
Jasmine,
of a man. Go ahead.
You know what? Sometimes it can be a bad thing, because I think about the chant, everyone has a little cunt inside. And just imagine, you know what you want to be. People say you don't know what you want to be. You know what you're feeling. But to have that, to try to be beat out of you, to have that, that's not for you, it's like, what you're doing to me is confusing a child. Because naturally, it feels good to play with a doll. It feels good to do this. But then I have you from the outside hollering and whatever, you know. And it's like, some kids be like, well, what should I do? You understand what I'm saying? But once again, it depends. It takes you to grow up and determine that your life is your life, and this is what makes you happy.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. Jason, your turn.
I'm going to start with saying this. It takes a strong black woman to raise a strong black man. And I grew up with a mother and a stepfather, and then I grew up with a mother and a mother. When my mother was with my stepfather, it may as well have just been my mother and my mother, because my mother is the one who taught me what it was to be a man, how to tie a tie, what responsibility was, that my sexuality was not based on my penis. I feel sometimes, because, you know, I don't have that relationship that most boys have where their father played basketball with them, or their father, they took them to a sports game, or their father taught them how to throw a football. Not that I was interested in those things. I just would have liked to have had those experiences with another male figure, a much older male role model. I didn't learn how to ride a bike till I was 13. I thought, don't laugh, I didn't learn how to ride a bike till I was 13. That was something that I think my father should have taught me to do.
Mm-hmm.
So getting older, I grew up with strong black women. I knew at 5 that I was gay. I kissed my first boy at 5 years old in my grandmother's basement. So I'm a firm believer in you know what you are when you come out. My mother took me to the doctor and said, there's something wrong with this boy. This boy walking around with my nightgowns on and cowboy hats and stuff. And the doctor told her, oh, he just likes soft things. Just buy him satin pillowcases and stuff like that, and he'll grow out of it. And my mother said, no, it is something wrong with my child. I don't care what you say. And it took me, going back to what I said, it took me a long time to get comfortable with me, because I grew up hearing, oh, he a sissy, oh, you going to make him a punk, and my sisters would take the wiffle ball bat and chase whoever, set whatever, because I didn't know what a sissy was, but it felt funny. I mean, I could jump out on my steps and be like Electric Woman and Donna Girl. Every Halloween, when my mother said, what do you want to be for Halloween? I wanted to be Wonder Woman. I end up being Fonzie or Batman or
Wonder Woman.
But I wanted to be Wonder Woman. And we laugh at this stuff now because I'm comfortable, but I know that it hurt my mother for a while. I could see it in her eyes sometimes, the pain, because she knew what my life could be or what could have turned out. And I don't have animosity, and I admire people. Something that J-Rock said that kind of bothers me. Because I don't have my mother, my father is still alive, and we have a friendship. We don't have a relationship. We have a friendship. But because my mother is not here, it bothers me when I hear people who have their mothers or have their fathers, and they just talk bad about them. Be glad you got them. Because I would give my right arm or my left leg just to hear my mother's voice again.
Well, Jason, not to interrupt you, it's hard when you've had people in your life that weren't good for you.
Mm-hmm.
So for you, and I'm not saying you shouldn't feel like that, because if my mother or my grandmother left this earth today, and I'm 33, y'all will probably have to check me into someone's mental institute, because that's my life.
Mm-hmm.
But because they were good to me, but if my father died, don't get me wrong, I will shed a tear, suck it up, and keep on moving.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? Okay. So if it was a person that, and it's just like anybody that's good to you in your life, you're going to miss them. But if that person wasn't really there for you or they weren't a part of your life, it's really like they're here now and they're not here.
Mm-hmm.
So how can I miss something that I really never had?
Right.
And I still love my father, don't get me wrong. But he hasn't. My daddy would make me walk up to his house, to my grandmother's house, and he would give me, oh, I'm going to give you some money when I get paid, son. I would walk to his house. You know how much money he would give me?
$1.
$20. But guess what? He done spent $200 with the crack man.
Mm.
Okay. All right. Mark, you want to touch upon this a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you know, growing up as a kid, I had a really rough life. I could say it's rough because I know how other people look at that side of life. I mean, for me, it wasn't that rough, but, you know, other people call it rough. I basically picked up, you know, a lot of drugs and started selling a lot of drugs, 13 years old, 12 years old, probably going on 13, and I basically did what I wanted to do. My father was there, you know. My family tried to instill what was supposed to be. I mean, look at me now. It basically worked, but, you know, I had to find my own time. When I was 12, 13, I was a terror. I was horrible. All I wanted to do was fight. All I wanted to do was, you know, terrorize people, you know, start trouble. I was just bad, you know what I mean? And I don't think that that had anything to do with missing a parent. Or for me, I don't think it had anything to do with missing a parent or, you know, basically just being, you know, mischievous. I was just a defiant kid, you know. I'm a defiant adult, so, you know, it was just something that I liked to do at that age, you know. And anything that I did, my father would come to me, oh, you cannot do these things, and this is bad, and da-da-da-da-da. And I was like, get the fuck out of here. Like, come on. You know, and you know, my parents were the type of people who was like, okay, you don't want to listen to us. You go do what you want to do, but if you're going to live here, this is what you're going to do. So I did what I did outside, and when I came inside, you know, I guess I was the child that they wanted. But at the same time, I really would not blame my parents, or I think it would have went either way whether my father was there or not. Even clearly to this day, I don't remember who said it, Jason or Alexis. Me and my father, we're actually cool friends. You know what I mean? We have
right.
that father-son bond when it needs to come, but it doesn't come into play unless I really want it to come into play. And it's been that way since I was 12, 13 years old. I'm going to touch back on what Lana said. I don't need a soul to validate me at all. I never, ever have. Even probably since I was a kid, I never have. I don't need anybody. I always turn my head. If I don't want your help, I don't take it. I don't speak to people. You know, I'm just a really difficult type of person, and I always been like that. And I don't think it had anything to do with missing a parent. I think it goes into back, again, what Vanna said. Well, you know what you have to do when you come to a certain age in your life. There's maturity and there's responsibility. You have to take both of them on, you know, head on at any cost. So having a father and not having a mother is going to feel bad or a certain way for you emotionally, but physically and mentally, you're going to have to step your game up because life is just going to go on and your emotions is going to be in the way and there's nothing you're going to be able to do about them, but either they're going to let them consume you or you're going to live the life that you're supposed to be living.
Okay. Thank you so much, Mark. We're going to go to a caller who asked about this earlier. She's been on hold for a while. Amina, you're back on the air. I know you wanted to talk about this topic.
I would say that for me, my situation is a bit different from everyone else's, simply because at a young age, I never knew who my father was. And I would always ask my mother, like, tell me something about him. Tell me his name, what he looked like, and I got nothing. So it took me relocating from Atlanta to New York, and I'm 25 now, and then to also come out and tell my family that I was in the process of transitioning for the topic of my father to come up. And it turns out that I'm not supposed to be here. I wasn't planned. There was just a situation that happened between my mother and, at the time, this guy that she was dating. And he basically took advantage of her, and she wound up pregnant. So it was kind of like, it was a tug of war with me, because I'm just like, okay, I'm kind of grateful because I'm here. And I think that regardless of my mother disagreeing with my lifestyle, we've kind of had to lean on each other. But at the same time, this is someone who hurt my mother. So how can I miss someone, or how could I want to get to know someone who took advantage of my mother? But at the same time, if that had not been the case, I wouldn't be here. So it's kind of like a blessing and a curse. But what I can say is that in that, it helped me to grow up quick, because I'm the oldest of three. So I kind of had to play the father role. So I had to grow up really, really quick. So for him, it's like, if anything, I thank him. Because out of this, I become a stronger person because of it. And now it's like, you know, going back, I resented my mother for a very long time until I came to New York, and it was like finally the truth, you know, that I had been wanting to know for years. Because growing up, you know, we would have, like, filled in the kids' fathers. They would come pick them up from school, and here I am. And they're like, oh, where's your dad? I'm like, I don't know who he is. And at a young age, that's, I didn't know the feeling of embarrassment, but it didn't feel right. It didn't feel right to say, well, I don't know who my father is, because then not only is this, you know, he's really feminine, but at the same time, he doesn't know who his father is. So it's like, oh, well, it's because that you're feminine and, you know, you caused your father to walk away. And then finding out some odd years later, my mother was raped. So it's kind of like that situation is different for myself. And I'm not going to lie, it takes some time to get used to. Because how does one get used to knowing that your mother was raped and now you're here? So it's kind of like I fight with that a lot, because that's my truth. You know, I don't want it to be, but that's what it is. But I'm not going to I'm not a victim. I'm not going to feel sorry for myself, and I don't want anybody to feel sorry for me. But it's just a fucked up situation.
But you're able to move on from that.
Of course. Yeah.
Okay. And you have the support of your mother, and as a team, you move on from that.
Yep. I have the support from my family to a certain extent.
Okay.
And when I say a certain extent, they don't agree with my deciding to transition, because the argument that they use, and I'm not going to go into this really deep, but God made you a man. So that's what he
yeah.
If you be a woman, he would have made you a woman. I'm not going to get into that. But
yeah,
it's kind of like, yeah, that is a whole nother subject.
Yeah, because you would turn this phone conversation out with these girls on.
Yeah.
I had to put my claws back in.
Yeah, but we know what you mean, Amina. And I want to say thank you so much, and thank you for sharing that with us. And if you want to come back on, just press one for me one more time. We're going to go to the next caller, Sean. How are you, Sean? You're on the air.
I'm doing fine. I want to say that I don't think it really matters whether you have a father in your life or not. I think he has his pros and his cons. Me being 18, I didn't know my real dad growing up, but there was a male figure in my life, and I wasn't really hands on with him, but he was in my life. As a young man, my stepdad and my mom, like, they kept me very disciplined. And then once I got in high school, it was like I had entered into another world. Like, my mind had begun to venture off. And the older I got, the more lenient they kind of got. Like, I didn't have any guidance anymore, I want to say. And at an early age, like, I kind of knew that I liked the guys, but I didn't really accept it. So I never acted on it. In my 11th grade year of school, I started talking to boys, and I just brought a guy home. So I never really had to come out and say that I was gay. But I guess my parents kind of already knew, but I don't think it really, like, mattered whether I had a male figure there or not, because I already knew that I liked the boys.
Okay. Now, the fact that you had a stepdad that was there, how did that still affect you, as, you know, where your real dad was? Is your real dad still around, or is he visible, or are you able to communicate with him, or you just didn't even want to?
I haven't talked to my real dad in, like, a very, very long time. Actually, the last time I probably seen him was in the courtroom, and I don't even remember that because I know I was young then. As far as my stepdad goes, like, he's cool. Nobody in my family ever really, like, made it an issue that I was gay. So, I don't know.
Okay. Well, thank you, Sean. I really appreciate it. And if you want to come back on, just send me a message. The next caller is 803-521. You're on the air.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Who are you?
Oh, God, here we go again with you.
Thanks for reaching out.
They need to have, like, a permanent block. It's 803-521. Please don't get me started. Whatever you do, don't get me started.
Take me to the border.
Minute, I'll find out who he is.
If you don't know who the fuck I am, honey, then you need to go find your father.
The shade of it all.
The next thing I want to ask is pretty much based on what you know, what you guys are talking about. Doing in comparison based on things that you were saying, you know, some of you have lost your fathers. Some of you have your fathers, and throughout the years and, you know, everything that you kind of grew up with, your fathers just have become, you know, like more of a friend or whatever. Some of you don't even know who your fathers are. Just kind of like overall, I know you were nervous. It's okay, though. My question is, what do you say to a person that, you know, and using the example, but, you know, how do you guys feel that you guys, this person is not able to communicate with their father at all, and some people don't even have fathers that they can communicate with. Like, you know, they'll say, I wish I was able to reach out to him, and he's no longer here because he passed. But what do you say to the individuals that keep saying that, you know, I just want to communicate with him, but he just will not reach back? I think, Ronna, you touched up on it, but I want to kind of ask the boys, Jason, Mark, and, you know, Keisha, J-Rock, what do you say as a male, a young male, what do you say to the individual that says, but I keep trying and he does not want to reach back out? What do I do?
For me, I didn't meet my father till the first time till I was 12. My biological father, I didn't meet him till I was 12 because he was in jail. So from birth, I talked to him on the telephone, so I knew what his name was, but I didn't know what he looked like. I didn't know anything about him until I was 12. We still don't have a relationship because Alexa said something that triggered something in me, and I kind of sort of had to pray on it for a minute. When my father did come around, my father came around with the, oh, I'm going to come get you this weekend, and I'm going to take, we going to the zoo, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. And with the anticipation of all week long, my daddy coming, I'm going to do this with my daddy. And I get up 8 o'clock Saturday morning, and I'm sitting on the steps till 8 o'clock Saturday night, and my mother saying, boy, come in this house, because this man's never showing up. So I grew up with a hell of a lot of resentment towards my father. It got to the point that it hindered me in relationships with other men. And we've had this conversation, probably me, you, and a few other people, where I say sometimes I don't even know why I'm gay because I can't stand men. And it's because of my father. But I know that I'm gay, but it took a woman to tell me that until I let go of the resentment and the animosity I had towards that man, I would never be happy with any man.
And that's just like with the old relationship, Jason. You know how you've been in a relationship and you've been hurting that relationship?
Mm-hmm.
And you just keep holding on to that, so you have to let go. Let go,
right.
Let God.
So once I let go, and somebody told me, they was like, you're just going to have to go home one day. You're just going to have to lay down, face to the floor, and you're just going to have to pray to God and ask God to do whatever God needs to do in you. And when that release comes, you're going to feel so much better. And when that release came, I am now able to have communication with my father, to sit in my father's presence and just talk and go from there and not be bitter and not be angry. But there were times when I was like, oh, if I could just pick up a motherfucking screwdriver, I'd be in jail right now or whatever. So I would tell that person is that if your father is alive and he's not and you're reaching out to him and he's not reaching out to you, then somehow, some kind of a way for yourself, you're going to have to try to find closure. And we all, as human beings, even in relationships, we want closure. We can't move on without closure. For some people can move on without closure, but there are those that you can't move forward without closure. And if that closure never comes, he never communicates with you, then you write a letter and say everything that you need to say in that letter, and then you burn it and you let it go. That's just how I feel.
Okay, J-Rock?
Hello?
Is J-Rock still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. This Evo was doing shows. But anyway, what I got to say about that one right there, if you're trying to reach out to your father, I've seen that a lot of times personally. I mean, it ain't no shame in my game. My mama was, you know, she had, what, 5 baby daddies and 8 kids. So, yeah. So, anyways, I've seen so many daddies, like my little brothers and stuff, they tried to reach out to their dad, or to my little sister, they tried, just tried, till she turned like 17. And when I tell you this man tried to come back and tried to get in her life, when I tell you this little girl is fierce when it comes to her father. I'm talking about this little girl respect me to the utmost till I get on her father. This girl be ready to fight me. Like, you can't tell me shit. Because he left and he knew I was a daddy's girl. So it's kind of hard. And I be trying to tell her that if you don't let go of that, you're going to have, it's like you're going to have so much, everybody thinks she's just this angry young lady when she's really not. But it's just like when it comes down to dudes and men, she handles the fuck out of some like real good young men. They be really trying to, you know, cater to her, but she handle them. And I think that's where it comes from. I feel like this. If you're trying to reach out to somebody, you're trying, just pay it. Why? You need to work on you, because the mind can be very powerful or the mind can be very weak. You need to work on you. Work on you. But at the same time, you have your issues. Everybody in this world have a certain issue, and you have to understand that. Maybe they were going through what they were going through. Now, if they try to come back, and they, when they do come back, they're trying their best to let you know that I was not in the right space, my mind wasn't right, or whatever they was going through, just let them know that who you are now. You're not that little girl no more. You're not that little boy no more. You're grown. So it can be a relation. That's the animosity I have when somebody is trying their best to say, I didn't do right by my child. I just want, you know, if it's just a hello or how you doing to check up on you, and they be like, you ain't got nothing for me, and they just shut their parents down. I'm like, but I don't have a father to come make something right with. That's what I'm saying. It may not be that, oh, that's my daddy, but it can be, I mean, like even Alexa said, it'll hurt if they go away, but you can still move on, but you got some kind of relationship with them, because you have to be able to forgive people so you can move on.
Yeah, I agree with you, J-Rock. Sometimes you do, like my father, we don't have the relationship, but I'm cordial to him. Because he's still my father. But I have, me being the type of person I have two personalities. My Aquarius side is a little bit more ill-tempered, ill-mannered, flat them out. So that when that side comes out, I tend to say things that I don't mean, but they come out. So, but I do agree with you. You have to respect your parents. I started to quote a Bible scripture, but that would have been so wrong just now. but you know where I was going. You have to respect your parents. Even I feel bad for people, and I do feel bad when, oh, you motherfucker, you ain't did shit for me all my life. And I'm like, bitch, that's your mama.
Mm-hmm.
Are you fucking serious? Like, it's a part, like, bitch, I could beat the shit out of you. Don't talk to your mother. Like, I have a bad thing with people who talk to parents. Adults,
mm-hmm.
But then at the same time, you have to blame the child, the parent, also because you crossed
mm-hmm.
that line at some point. Okay, let me stop.
But
okay.
You know, Alexis, let me just finish. My thing is, the whole thing I'm trying to end it with is, it's not you
forgiving your parent for them. It's you forgiving your parent for you so you can move on with your life, because like they said, you don't need nobody to validate you. But if you've been trying to reach out and they didn't come back, but when they do come back, okay, I understand you did what you did, you were going through what you were going through, but forgive them for you so you can move on and not have to think about what happened when you was a child. And that's the way I feel about it.
Okay. Let me ask you guys a question, but let me go to this caller again because I just want to hear her say how much she hates me. 803-521, you're back on the air.
Oh, damn, hello.
What do you want, Trayvon?
Damn.
Hello.
Am I a celebrity?
Trayvon, what do you want?
Damn, am I, damn.
Right.
Come on, Mr. Bryant, what do you want?
Damn, I was listening.
Okay, well then continue to listen, but just keep it cute, Mr. Bryant. We'll talk to you later.
Ooh.
Right.
Who is that?
That's Trayvon Bryant.
Come on, government name.
So please look him up on Facebook, Trayvon Bryant.
I mean, I'm looking, like, I don't see him on Facebook.
That's Trayvon Bryant. He's from Columbia, South Carolina. But go ahead. All right, so the question that I have. The question that I have, Trayvon, if you have an issue as far as, because you sound like you have many issues.
You sound like you want that syrup.
Yeah, just hit me up on Facebook and, we can handle it, okay? Or October 27th in D.C., Columbia is not too far away from D.C. Please see me at that point. What would you say to the individual when they say that, and I'm just going to be honest with you, their father has been locked up, incarcerated all their life, pretty much their whole life. Never once sending a letter, a birthday card, a graduation, anything, any type of congratulation card or anything. And then when they come home, they don't even make an effort to reach out to him or anyone on that side of the family. They decide to go to the new girlfriend, the new wife, and their kid.
Jasmine.
Yes.
Listen.
Yes.
And I don't want you, nobody on this phone, or even the person who is going through these issues to think I am a mean person.
Mm-hmm.
First question, how old is this person?
Let's just say they're early 20s, 22,
okay.
23.
Baby, listen. If you listen to the sound of my sweet voice, you listen to me well. It is time to move on. Stop trying to hold on to something that is not there. Because the only thing you're doing is making yourself worse. Sometimes you have to learn in life that everybody is not going to be a part of your family. As much as you want your father to be there for you, he's not going to be there. Let it go. Because you're not going to do nothing but kill yourself in the end with heartache and pain, or what ifs, and I want and I wish. It's time to let go. I'm sure that your mother has been a strong person in your life, or someone has been strong enough for you to make it to see 20 something years, because you didn't make it on your own. Trust me, I know.
Very deep, Alexis. Very deep, and I know that they're listening because I still see them long talking.
Jasmine.
Yes, Mark.
Can I say something? I think a lot of people fail to realize as well that a lot of people, and I mean, don't take this the wrong way, but the word parent is a very strong word. Parental guider or parental guidance is another type of way to look at it as well. We have to remember that parents are individuals and human beings just as well. I mean, there are parents out there that there's one parent that's taking care of their child, there's the father or the mother, there's both parents, and then you have to remember some people don't have any parents. There are some parents that have taken the some single mothers and some mothers and fathers have taken the route of giving their child away. I mean, just foster care, giving them to a family member and things like that. So you got to remember, I mean, the resentment that you hold with the parent that is missing for whatever reason could be just as simple as, you know, as Jason said earlier, having, you know, being able to hold on to what is there instead of looking at what is missing. Because what is there is what is valid. What is missing is something that has to do with you. And if you're missing something, then you have to look into it and figure out why it's missing for you. If you've reached this far to come to only go all the way back to realize what you've missed, what you've been missing, then you're going to be taking a lot of time and wasting a lot of your precious time and your life on going backtracking on what is missing. I mean, what is going on what is there, with what is there? You know what I mean? Like, why do we have to dwell on the fact that this particular person wasn't there, this particular person isn't reaching back out? I mean, they're human beings. They're allowed to, you know, make errors and mistakes and say, I don't want to reach back out. I never wanted this. This wasn't my intention. This was all a mistake. You know, I'm trying to move on with my life. So that new girlfriend, that new family that you're talking about, this is something new for them. That part of that past, the way the person is looking for it, that's the past the same person that you're looking for is trying to leave behind to a degree at some point with some people. It's just like that. And it's why? It's because they're human beings. And we're all entitled to do it. We do it in relationships. We do it in different work areas. Bosses do it to us. I mean, it just happens.
So you're basically saying, you know, that they just are ready to move on with their life and they have moved on, per se, and they're just kind of not looking back. And that may be one of the reasons that, you know, this is happening the way it has happened.
Yeah, I'm not saying that's what they want to do. I'm just saying that the way that some of us, you know, this young man or other people are looking back at that time period to where it's like, well, what happened, you know, or why, you know, I sent out this letter or I sent him letters or, you know, I he was in jail and came home and went here. Maybe because they really had no intention on being a parent. Maybe they really don't know how to be a parent. Maybe they never wanted to be a parent. You know, some people, they have that. It's not cruel. It's just life. Some people don't want things in their life. Some people are reluctant to do drugs. Some people welcome it. I welcome it. Some people refuse it. So, I mean, we're all human beings. Some people want things and they don't. You know, some things come along. The addictions that we all have or some of us have, I don't think any of us wanted these addictions. They just came along. They're a part of our life now. We tried it. We liked it. We love it. And this is what we're doing. And later on, maybe we'll look back and say, that was a mess. And then some of us will keep on doing it. It's just life.
Now, I'm getting a message that basically they're not the only child. They have, you know, they're the youngest of three. And, you know, they were in, you know, their father was in a relationship with their mom and had, you know, other children prior to this one individual. You know, they may have had two older brothers and two older sisters or so. So, this,
Jasmine.
You know.
Jasmine, I am one of 18 children.
Okay.
One of 18 children that my biological father has, 18 kids. I am the youngest of 18 children. I only know 7 of my 18 brothers and sisters. When I finally had a conversation and I sat down with my father said to me, I came around, and when I realized that I had nothing to offer you, I stayed away. Because I thought that was the best thing I could do for you. Being a parent does not come with a manual. And sometimes our parents, they didn't have parents. So they don't know, because they didn't have parents, they don't know how to be a parent. If I didn't have no one to teach me how to love, how could I love? How could I show somebody else how to love if I was never taught how to love? So
this person's father could have not had a father in his life. And and because he didn't have a father in his life, and whatever road his path took him down, that he ended up in jail, however he met this new person, they transformed him. They worked with him. And the relationship that he formed with them when he came home or whatever, that's something that he worked on with them. But because he might be scared to reach out to this child because he doesn't want to hurt the child more than he's already hurt the child, or he may not want to get hurt by the child.
Okay.
I think he's trying to open up a wound. I mean, he's trying to get closure, but what's going to happen, he's going to open up a wound that's going to end up hurting him in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
And I could be wrong. And it could just be that, just like this, the father just might not want to, oh, that sounds so fierce, but the father just, sometimes you have to just let things be. Some things are just the way they are. And I feel if you've done all that you can to reach out to them and they're still not responding, then sometimes you just need to leave well enough alone.
I hate to use this scenario. Growing up, we had poodles. And Pebbles was the mother, and she had three babies. And Pebbles took to two of the babies, but she didn't take the one. She wouldn't do anything. She wouldn't. We would have to force her to feed the baby. We would have to make her do. And she even when and the baby survived, but she never took to that puppy. And that could just be how it is. It's just that this man just, for some reason, mothers and fathers and babies, they just don't connect. They are people who have babies and they leave them in a hospital because there's just a disconnect there. And there may be a disconnect. And the only thing I can say to this person that is listening is that I will pray and we will all pray and we will hope that you find what you want. But keep on reaching. Don't keep reaching for somebody that's not reaching for you.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Jason, you know what, though? You hit a point right there, but this is what I've always told people, and I've said this to all my brothers and sisters because I'm second to the oldest. When it comes down to parents, like people say parents is a, that is the, like I think that was Mark, that is a strong word. But, you know, I've always lived my life this way. And out of all eight kids, I'm not bragging, I'm the only one that done something, and it kind of bothers me. I'm like, come on, y'all, everybody's going to jail. I've got the one that dad is in prison and all this stuff and everything. So he decides that when he turns 16, he wants to be a gangster. All you know is church, boy. Why do you do this? Now he ends up in jail for life. My little brother murdered somebody at 19 by accident. Now he's in jail for life from running with the wrong crowd at 19. So my thing is, I always try to just tell them this. Why don't you work on yourself? Do something for yourself so well to when somebody look at you and look at your father or your mother, they'll say, that's your son? You mean to tell me that right there is your son? You got to be a fool. Let them deal with their situation. That's just like when my ballroom family would tell you, I'm never ashamed. We go to Dallas, hold on, we got to stop by the trap. Why are we going to the trap? Mama, what's up? Do you need anything? She's still my queen. I don't give a damn. Yeah, you turned me over to my grandma. You're still my mother. But I'm just to not leave you with any excuse. I'm going to come in this white uniform in the trap looking exactly like you to say, y'all see my mother? Hey, what's going on? You need anything? Blah, 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 blah. I want to leave you with no excuse to do what you do or be in the position that you're in, because now everybody's going to look at you and say, that's your son? How in the hell? Why are you out here? Or, like, why do you – you know what I'm saying? So work on you. Be a good person that, you know, work on you, because if you don't, then you'll find yourself, that's what a lot of these young people end up, resent, and then you find yourself in jail with the wrong crowd, deep in the drugs, deep into, you know, strung out. I'm not saying that whoever do drugs, that's what you do, but I'm talking about the strung out kids, because you're looking for something, so you're trying to find it through something else. Now, you know
okay.
what I'm saying? So
let me ask you guys a question, and this is where it gets a little deep. And they gave me permission to share a little bit of it with you. Alexis, I need you on this one. Naima, you're still there?
Mm-hmm.
I'm here.
Naima, Keisha, J-Rock, Jason, and Mark.
I'm still here. Enrique just called me, Jasmine. I'm getting ready to call him.
I'm still here.
And put him on with me.
All right, hurry up and get him really quickly. Amina, I'm going to come to you really quickly because I know you pressed one again, I think. Did you press one again? Amina?
Yes.
Did you press one again?
Did I or could I? You want me to press one again?
No, did you have another question or you're just still listening?
Oh, yeah, I did have something to say. Going back to... Hello?
Yeah, that's somebody calling someone. Go ahead. Here you go.
But going back to the whole father issue with the story that I was telling, one thing that I always... The thing that really kind of had a strain on my mother and our relationship was the fact that we got into an argument. And my grandmother called me, and I didn't know where it came from, but she was just like, you know, when it came out about what happened, she was just like, every time, you know, your mother sees you, she sees him. So, you know, for me to know that that happened to her, and that majority of the times where I didn't get, like, why is she popping off at me like this for no reason? It makes sense. But at the same time, it's kind of like knowing that I'm a bit nervous, you know what I mean, to, like, actually, you know, see her because I'm supposed to be going to visit her because, like I said before, like, she knows, like, that I'm transitioning, but she does not know, like, the extent of it, you know, and instead of telling her, like, via phone, or, you know, email, I wanted to tell her in person. So it's just like we have all this going on, and then at the same time, it's just like I don't want her to feel like she's failed as a parent or, you know, because of what I found out is retaliation, you know, for the information that, you know, that I found out. So it's kind of like I said before, it's a tug and war because some parents are like that. It's like, you know, if there's any type of resemblance or characteristics of, you know, either the mother or the father, it could be a strain on, you know, most relationships with the children, who in which they did nothing wrong. You know, it's the parents. But it's unfortunate that some parents see the kids and they think back, damn, every time I look at you, I see, you know, it's a constant reminder of what happened. You know, you take me to a place that was really uncomfortable, you know. It's a messed up situation. So
yeah, it is on both parts. It is. Again, thank you, Amina. But I'm glad Amina did call and share that with us because the person that we're talking about, you know, and I know you're listening to different views and opinions, and that's why you asked for this topic. Because you listen to what you're seeing right here. You're seeing many different types of people and their relationship that they have with their father and what happens. Some of them have lost them at young ages. Some of them are still in their lives but don't even play a role at all. Some of them are very judgmental to the others. And some of them actually, you know, did it, you know, it's known that it was actually a mistake. Look what Amina is going through. Just to know that, you know, her mom was raped by a man and that now she's, you know, not now, but she's, every time her mom looks at her, sometimes it's a reminder of what took place in her life. So, you know, everybody, you're not alone. Everybody has a story to tell and share, and some of it can be very worse than what you're going through. But, you know, just wanted to say that, but I need you guys to answer this for me, and I'm just going to get a little deep with this. I think one of the issues that this person is having, Alexis, Naima, J-Rock, Jason, did you get Enrique?
I called twice, and it just rang, and you know how I get over it. So if he calls me back.
Okay. I think one of the issues that this person is having is this person is looking for answers. And when I say answers, I'm just going to give you a little bit of the story in so many words. You know, the father left and, you know, went to jail when this individual was very, very young, very, very, very young, and went to jail for, you know, basically crime, and, you know, crime against the family, let's just say. And for the years as this individual was growing up, that's pretty much what was, you know, brought to the table on why their dad was not in their life, because of the things that their dad did, as, you know, in his, you know, in his life, as when he was a child, not necessarily affecting him personally, but, you know, physically or anything like that. We're not talking about that. We're just talking about the crimes against the family. And, you know, he was, you know, not taught, but told, yeah, this is what your dad did. And, you know, this is why he's where he's at. And this is why he's going to be there for X amount of years, because he did this. And, you know, for so many years, this is what you're being told by your mom and by your sisters and by your relatives and stuff. And this is what your daddy did and so forth and so on. But as you get to adulthood, you don't want to listen to what the family says. You want to be your own man. You don't want to listen to what everybody's saying. You don't want to always hear mommy talk about him and your sisters talk about him. You want to know for yourself. You want to know what really happened that took you out of our lives. Not just my life, but our lives. What really happened? Because I don't know what to believe anymore. I just know the stories that were told. I don't know what to believe. And one day, as now you are young, 16, 17, 18, you're able to make your own decisions and stuff, you go to the prison and you visit him. And it's you that visits. He doesn't invite you, but you go visit him for the first time ever since you probably was in diapers. You go visit him and you sit down and you finally see him face to face. And you ask him, Daddy, what really happened? And the thing that comes out of his mouth is, I just don't want to talk about it. So, you know how visiting for time, you know, when you visit someone in jail, you know, your time is limited. Basically, you're going to the jail looking for your answers. He's not giving you your answers. You leave that jail still trying to hold that bond of communication. And years, a couple of years go by, and he still does not reach out. He still does not, you know, try to continue the communication. You had to go search for him. You had to travel across, you know, country to go see him in the prison. You tried to get the answers. He didn't give them to you. And then now, years go by, and you find out that he comes home, and now, you know, he's out, and he's doing his thing, you know, so forth and so on. He's still doesn't make an effort to reach you, and now you're no longer a young teenager. You're now a young man, a young adult, and you're still trying to find those answers to get that closure, and he's still not giving it to you. And you don't want to live your life based on what everyone else is saying. You want to know the truth. What would you say to him then, Alexa?
Oh, me first. First, let me tell you something, Jasmine. I ain't gonna keep running behind a motherfucker that don't want to talk to me.
Mhm. But if you're trying to get closer on it,
baby, listen. Every lie has some bit of truth to it.
Okay.
So with that being said, I've listened to what my mom, my other adults in my family have told me about him, and guess what? Going to take it with a grain of salt and keep on moving, because I'm not going to keep running my head up against a damn wall trying to find out something that you don't want to tell me. Okay. I think it's going to take time. It's going to take time for you to get over the situation. But trust me, if your father, well, no. If your daddy, because he's not a father, if your daddy wants to be bothered, he'll reach out to you.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you have to leave well enough alone. It's like you're trying to, you have a sore and you just keep picking.
picking at it. Mm-hmm. It's not going to heal because you keep fucking with it. Leave it mm-hmm. alone.
You know, I had a conversation with my sister on my father's side. It's funny you brought this up. Most recently, because I'm going to give you a little short story of like a minute. Every Father's Day that has come up, you know, I've never spent Father's Day with my father. My father always was spending with my other brothers and sisters on his side, on that side of the family. I will always give him a card or something, or give him a tie or some type of gift or whatever the case may be. And like I said, my father really wasn't like that in my life. So 2009, I had called my father and I asked my father, I said, listen, Father's Day is coming up in 2 weeks. I said, do you think me, you, and my mother can maybe do something or spend time together, you know, or what have you, for Father's Day? So he hem-hawed around, you know, about the situation. He said some other things, but he hem-hawed around about it. And he was like, well, I'll let you know. And I said, all right, fine then. So a week passed by. I called him again. I said, well, listen, you know, it's been a week. You know, I wanted to know, are we going to do something together? So his statement to me was, well, you know, me and, you know, your brothers and sisters or whatever, you know, they always take me out to the restaurant and we go eat and whatever the case may be. He said, but when I find out what the restaurant is that we're going to, he said, you're more than welcome to, you know, you could come there. So I said, are you serious? And he says, yes, I am. I said, let me tell you something, okay? In all of my 30-something years, because I'm not getting into my age on this line, I said, but in all of my 30-something years, I have never asked to spend Father's Day with you. I have never asked to do anything with you. And I said, and the one time that I asked to do something with you and my mother, me, you, and my mother, just us, out of the norm that you normally do, you tell me this? I said, you know what? Don't ever, as long as I got breath in my body, look for me to ask anything of you again. Wait a minute.
Okay.
For as Father's Day and for as your birthday, I said, because I'm done. And then that was that. But I've been trying to get answers out of my father why he was the way he was and why he used to treat me the way he was. Even now, to talking to my sister was like, well, it sounds like you got, you know, pent up anger. She was like, well, he done had so many strokes and so much shit done happened to him, you're not going to get the answer that you want. And I said, well, I will get some type of answer from him. And she said, no, you're not going to. She said, if anything, you just need to just really be there for him, and that's that or whatever. But for the longest time, these past couple years, Jasmine, at least for these past 5 years, I have been trying to get some type of something so I could get some type of closure in my life dealing with my father. But I've come to the realization that it is what it is. You know, whatever the condition that he's in, it is what it is.
I got you, and that's a good answer. I mean, again, it shows that not only the caller himself is, you know, but there's other people as well that still have no closure, and they see their father face to face, and there's still no closure. So who's to say, if he was communicating with you, he probably still would never get the answers that you're looking for. J-Rock, go ahead.
I would just like to tell people, because I'm that kind of person, like Naima, if I want to know something, I'm going to get it out of you. But you got to understand something about family tea. When you're talking about real family tea, it gets deep. And not only do it get deep, you need to prepare. If you're going to keep poking and trying to get answers, you need to prepare yourself for the juice or whatever you want, the real deal, because they're probably not telling you, and they're probably running away from something to protect you, because if you found out why they're not reaching out to you,
then it may do something to you or may affect you even more. Now you've become infected. Just like they said, you're picking at a sore, now you've got that sore infected. Now you need to go into general surgery. So what you need to do is make sure that while you're still picking, is it worth it? You know, is it even worth to do that? Because you may find out something that you really was not ready for. So I would say, but if you still want to find out, but not saying don't find out the truth. Just be prepared for the truth that you get. So you might need to, that's just something between you and your God or whatever. Just be prepared when you start picking for stuff, bro.
So basically, you know, you never know what God may be protecting you from this individual, because you never know what wounds you may open that may be worse than what you was ever taught for your first 23 years. Okay.
Right.
Jason, go ahead. Okay. Jason, go ahead.
Well, first of all, Desmond, Enrique is on the phone with me. What I'm going to say is we just had our family reunion at the beginning of the month, the beginning of August. And one of my sisters, which is kind of odd, one of my sisters pulled my father aside. And like I already told you, my father has 18 children. One of my sisters pulled my father aside, and she had a conversation with him. And in the conversation, she started asking questions about our other siblings, and like, do you reach out to them? Do you know who they are? And my father's response to her, and it's going to sound cold, my father's response to her was, my youngest son's name is Jason. My oldest son's name is Gary. Anybody, Gary is my oldest child. Jason is my youngest child. Anybody after Jason, their name is John Doe, who gives a damn. So that means that those 10 other kids out there, he's never had a desire to reach out to them, and if they've had a desire to reach out to him, he really doesn't give a damn. So, and my sister's response was like, well, that's kind of cold. Well, what if you died today or tomorrow? And his response to her again was, my oldest child's name is Gary, my youngest child's name is Jason.
Okay. Gotcha. Mark?
I just don't know what to say. I guess I would come across as really cold. So I don't know how to respond to that because I'm just not reaching out. I'm not reaching out. You'll never get me to reach out. I don't care about closure. I don't care if you're not there. I mean, I've been to school. I graduated. I have a degree and I have a career. I don't need you.
Okay. Okay, I got you. The last question, because I'm just going to end it. I'm just going to end the topic on this last question. What would you say to the individual? And the individual just said that somebody. I hear echo. I guess it's against speakerphone. I don't know whose phone that is, but hello.
Yeah.
You guys hear the echo?
Enrique, are you on your speakerphone?
No, not on my
speakerphone. That's probably Alexis over there.
Keep it cute, bitch. I was on mute.
Okay. I don't know whose phone it is, but I do hear it. But the last question basically is, you know, the reason why they're looking for closure, and, you know, not really the reason why they're looking for closure, but the main thing is that they feel that maybe he doesn't want to reach out to me because he thinks I'm only trying to communicate with him because of my mom. You know, he thinks like maybe the mom is searching for him for maybe outstanding child support or things like that. So he feels that maybe he's just hiding from me because he's scared that it's because of my mother. And I'm trying to say that it's not my mother, because he may call his grandmother, he may call the father's mother and say, I'm not calling on behalf of my mom, I'm calling on behalf of me. Please have him call me. Please have him reach out to me. And the mom says, oh, I haven't seen him in a month or 2 months. I haven't seen him. But, you know, he's feeling like, I really feel like he doesn't want to reach out to me because of my mother. What do I do? And he's like maybe coming up with all these excuses and reasons. What do you say to him? Just leave it alone? You know,
Desmond,
what do you say to him?
Des- does he have a relationship with his father's family?
No.
So he doesn't even have a relationship with them.
He doesn't have a relationship. Maybe every once in a while, holidays or so, he will call his grandmother up. But, you know, his grandmother's probably in her 80s or so. So it's just more of a phone call. But every time he calls the grandmother and says something about the dad, you know, the grandmother always uses the, I haven't seen him.
Has he tried to build a relationship with his son, with their family?
With who, the grandmother?
No, with his dad's family. Has he tried to build relationships with other members of the family?
Honestly, no. I would say no, based on the history and everything that he was basically taught on or brought up on.
Okay.
I mean, you know, it kind of gets touchy. You know, it kind of gets touchy. But I think a lot of you have cleared up a lot, and maybe the individual needed to hear that. But, you know, again, I think they're just looking for closure. I don't think you're looking for them to come teach them how to play basketball or ride a bike right now. I think it's just more or less closure. And I think a lot of you touched up on that, and I just hope the caller, you know, it does help the caller or the listener and overall. You know, I know the listener is listening. I know members of the family is listening. And I just hope it helps, you know, because, again, it is an issue. You know, when you try to reach out to someone and they're not communicating with you, you're looking for answers and you're not getting your answers, and it kind of hinders you a little bit. You know, it doesn't hinder you to the point that, you know, you're not able to function, but, you know, sometimes you may have some sleepless nights, or it just may cause a lot of anger within yourself. And I think that's where a lot of it comes from. But based on the information that I do know about the person is going and starting to go in the right direction with their education, with their career and stuff. So it's not really affecting them 100%, where they're like a strung-out drug addict who can't move. You know, they are going in the right direction, but they still are just kind of looking for that closure so they can move on. But hopefully what you guys did was help a little bit. So I want to say thank you. Did you want to say anything else about the topic to this caller, I mean to this listener really quickly, Alexis, before we change the topic? Alexis, you're muted. Okay. Naima, you want to say anything to this listener?
Just keep your head up, you know, and just know that everything is a test.
Yeah. J-Rock?
Yeah, well, one thing I can tell that listener is, like I said, focus on you. This is the time for you to focus on you, to make sure that you are of sound mind. Never let anyone, not one man, take control of your mental stability. You have to control your own mental stability so you can be a functioning human being in this world. And then let that deal with itself. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Deal with you.
Okay, Jason, anything you want to say to the listener?
The only thing I want to say to you is that sometimes you reach, and when you reach and it feels like you reached and you stretched as far as you can go, you just can't go anymore. And you just have to stop right there and leave it there and let them pick it up. And if he never picks it up, then he's missing out on getting to know a wonderful person.
Okay, Mark, anything you want to say to the listener?
I just want to say, you know, it's, you know, all ups and downs are a part of life. You know, it'll get better. It may get, you know, it may be bad at first, but it can only get better. If it's that bad for you, it can only get better.
Okay. And Enrique, I don't know how much you really heard, because I know you weren't on the line, but anything you want to say to the listener?
My thing is, if you can hear, people can tell you it's going to get better, but if it's really bothering you, and I know this might sound taboo to certain people, I would seek counseling. or talk to other people in the same predicament as you, because believe it or not, counseling can help a lot. And even a group of core people who have the same thing going on with you do that. I mean, I know a lot of people say counseling is bougie or like taboo, but I really am a firm believer in it. So if it's really bothering you to the core, then it's good to sit and talk about it with somebody who doesn't really know and interested in spell. Because a lot of times you will learn just by hearing yourself talk, if anybody understands what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, you know? Definitely. I think we all have a story to share when it comes to this, and I think that's what the listener was looking for. You know, I even have my own stories about my father, you know, or that I call him that man, you know. You know, we all have our home stories and stuff like that, but, you know, we just all have to move forward, you know. We all have to move forward and just focus on ourselves and, you know, what makes us happy, and we just need to focus on that, because we just can't sit here and allow another individual, I don't care who they are, mother, father, whoever, brother, sister, you cannot allow another individual to dictate the way you live, the way you walk, the way you breathe. You know, it just doesn't work that way. You know, you have to be your own person. So, you know, the only thing you can do is learn from other experiences and just move forward. That's just what my belief is. So I hopefully it helps out a little bit. And anybody else that's listening and the issues that they're going through, as well as with Amina, you know, her story as well is very, very deep and very, very touching. And I just say to her as well, just be the best that you can be. And, you know, it's really hard, you know. It's really, really hard. But as long as you're aware of your situation, that's the first step. You know, at least you know what you're going through. There's a lot of people that just don't know. And because they don't know, they look for answers in the wrong places, and they're all over the place. So hopefully it helps, you know, with her, with the other individual, and everyone else. But anybody that's on the phone lines that want to, you know, talk a little bit before we wrap it up, we still have about 20 minutes into the show. This is where we're just going to pretty much go free all, you know.
Can I ask a question?
Uh-huh.
Just a question. Was it Naima that, who said that they would ask to have a time with their dad, their mom, and just them individually? Was that Naima or was that somebody else?
You said that has a, say that again?
Did you ask them for Father's Day? Was that you?
Oh, yeah, uh-huh.
Just out of curiosity, how come you didn't want to do it with the family? Because that could have been a stepping stone.
Well, you know, the thing about it is, funny you asked me that. I've never been close to my other brothers and sisters on that side of the family, for the mere fact is that my father had me hidden from that side of the family, and including his wife, since until I was like 10 years old, 10 or 11 years old. When his wife found out that he had, that not only was he cheating on her, but that he had another child that was about, that was going on 11 years old by another woman, she resented me. She treated me like shit. She brainwashed my other brothers and sisters on that side of the family not to be nasty to me, you know, to be evil to me. When I would call his house and I would ask to speak to my father, she would be like, hold on, and she'd get a phone. She'd be like, she would say, Joseph, this is your other child on the phone. You know, she would just do fair shit. She did, though, but she would just do fair shit to me. And not to be serious the way I said it, but
you lit that up. Go ahead.
Was she really, Naima? Really? She's dead now?
Yeah, she's dead, yes. And she had nerve enough to have a plaque inside her casket that said, may the work I've done speak for me.
You know what? I'm hanging up.
But
good night.
No.
But no, but no, all just aside, the reason why I didn't reach out to them, because I've talked to my brothers and sisters from time to time on that side, but they've never made me feel like family. They never made me feel like I was a part of them.
Maybe they were brainwashed as well by her. And if by them going, maybe they were brainwashed as well by her.
Well, yeah,
and
that's
by you being around them.
Yeah, that's what I said. But see, even after she died, they still, you know, was still, you know, the distant way that they were to me. Now, one thing that I resent with my father is, okay, he didn't want to deal with the whole, you know, explaining me or trying to make me a part of the family while his wife was alive because of whatever the situation is, because of her mouth and the shit she did and stuff like that. All right, fine. But that lady's been dead over 10, 12 years, 13 years. He had, to me, I feel like, and this is my opinion, I feel like he has had enough time since that lady has been gone on to make us a family, to bring me to that side of the family and be like, you know, even though y'all may have been talking to, you know, my son, whatever, you know, on and off, what have you, like that, this person is your family. You know, this person is, you know, X, Y, and Z, whatever case may be. I feel like he should have did that, being that he's supposed to be who he is and my father. But then at the same time, you can be a daddy, you can be a broke daddy, you can be a rich daddy, but it takes a lot to be a father. And that's something right. that he never was to me. So I tried to take the initiative, even most recently, going over to the house, whatever, like that, you know, and then, you know, they getting into my whole look, you know, because I live my life as a woman, and, you right. know, they getting into the whole look of things or whatever like that, and it was just giving, like, oh, shit, it's, you know, it's like an elephant in the room, you know, type of tea or whatever when I came over there, but that's neat, that's another story. But
you, I can say, but you didn't see that coming? That's a whole different thing. Like, I would definitely have saw that coming, but I would have definitely took it. How old is your father, can I ask?
My father is 74.
Okay.
Yeah. But you know,
I think a lot of us have resentment sometimes in life when it comes to our parents, you know, be it the mother, the father, or whatever, because I know for years I've had resentment, you know, towards my biological father, you know. And it just happens like that. You know, again, there's a lot of people who have fathers, and their fathers are just not there for them at all. And there's a lot of people who don't have fathers. You know, I have a father, but or I have, you know, that man, but I have resentment towards him because I was given, you know, an option. And, you know, when I was very young, my option was, do you want to continue to live the way you're living with your mom in a welfare hotel, with your mom being on drugs and things of that sort, or do you want to move with me to Germany, because he was in the military and he was going to be stationed in Germany. Do you want to move with me to Germany and I'm going to give you a good life? And basically he wanted me to leave my mother. And he, you know, he said this to me when I think I was maybe in eighth grade, you know, either come with me or, I don't think I was in eighth grade, I think I was maybe sixth or seventh grade, come with me or there's nothing I can do for you. And because I think I had such a nasty attitude at a young age, I don't think that I don't like, I kind of like Mark. You know, I'm like, you're not going to see him off, you know, give me options and tell me this and tell me that. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. And I already knew at that point that I was not going to leave my mother because I loved my mother. And because I knew what my mother was going through, I felt that I needed to be there for her, because if I wasn't going to be there for her, who the hell was going to be there for her? So now you're telling me to leave her when she's going through so much? No, I need to be there for her, because I knew a lot of things my mother was going through. I knew the things I had to deal with when I used to walk in and my mother was all joked up and nodding all over the floor and on the chairs and in the bathroom. I knew I had to clean her up and clean everything up and feed her and stuff. So who was going to do that if I moved to Germany? So don't sit here and give me, you know, these, either it's going to be this or be that. You know, don't do that. So when he gave me that, it came across to me like that, I was pretty much like, fuck you. You know, go to Germany and whatever, whatever. And ever since then, I remember that was like the last time I saw him. ever since then, I held a resentment, not even towards him, but towards that whole side of my head. I used my grandmother for so many years because I blamed her. I blamed, not blamed her, but I took my anger out on her. And I was wrong for that, but I used her, you know, for money and everything. I used her. I just basically didn't even want to, never wanted to acknowledge that side of the family. You know, I'm half black, half Puerto Rican. This is my Puerto Rican side. But if a bitch ever asked me, you know, what are you? You're mixed or something? Are you Puerto Rican? You're mixed? I ain't mixed. I'm black. You know, I automatically said that because I did not want, you ain't black with all that hair. Child, I'm black. You know, I always acknowledge whatever I was at, where I was at, like with my mom and stuff. But for years, I was like that. And then years later, when I first did my TV appearance, I think it was Ricky Lake. When I was on Ricky Lake, he had the nerve to call my grandmother and tell my grandmother that he was watching Talk 2, that little E! Entertainment show that comes on that recaps everything that happened on TV that day. And they had recapped the episode of Ricky Lake, and he seen me come out as a drag queen. And when that happened, he called my grandmother. My grandmother called me, and she's trying to go off. And my thing is, how the hell can you sit here after all these years and try to question or go off on me on what I'm trying to do, what I'm doing with my life? And that right there pushed me even further away. Don't try to step into my life now and question why am I on TV, why am I doing this, and everything. So I never, ever, ever talked to him again ever since then. I mean, and not even then, I just never talked to him. To the point where a few years ago for a holiday, he drove up to my house with my grandmother. It was raining outside, and I think it was for Thanksgiving, and my grandmother was bringing us a dish. And she walked out of the car. It was raining. He allowed her to walk out of the car to come up to the house, getting rained on, to bring the dish inside the house. And I said, who is that driving the car? And she said, oh, that's your father. And he didn't even bother to walk up to the house. He didn't even bother to knock on the door. He didn't even bother to say anything. And I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that I surpassed him. Because everybody felt in my family that I was going to be labeled, I was going to be a statistic. But I completely surpassed you being who I was and being who I became with my businesses, with my homes, and everything that I did, that it was more or less, it started into a can't think. They just cannot think. The simple fact that y'all always thought I was going to be some fag and I was going to die of AIDS. And that's what they used to say. And the fact that I surpassed them and everything that they went through and his own new children put him through hell. His own new children did so much. And that's what made me feel great. Not the fact that I wanted bad to happen to him, but the simple fact that I was able to be who I am today and proud of who I am today, and I didn't need him. And I lost my mother years ago as well, and that was, that, you know, really, really hurt me. I lost her, but I was able to still move on without a mother, without a father, without a side of the family, because I lost the other side of the family as well. I became who I am today by myself. So I know that it can happen for anybody, and we just have to live and believe in ourselves. And I probably sound as long as I'm saying on it.
Well, I would just like to say on a lighter note, since we get ready to hang up, you know, everything on a lighter note, to kind of, you know, change gears, you know, and get us going off on a, even though we're going off on a good note, too, I just still want to, you know, say something. And that is, they ain't never been a bitch that said my ass was a big bunch.
I knew it was coming.
I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming. You said there ain't never been a bitch that said my ass was too much.
Oh, shit. Can I ask a real random question, everybody? I'm really thinking about getting an iPad, and people are telling me you got to get the third generation but stick with this to second generation. How, is that true? Like, what generation should I get? Should I go with the newest and better?
If you could afford it, get the third.
Say it again?
If you could afford it, definitely get the third.
Get the third that it doesn't overheat or anything? Because I'm hearing that it overheats, that they're having problems with it.
I have not seen, heard, had any type of problem with it at all. Get the third because it's a much clearer display. You can do more things on it than the second. And the second isn't as bad either, but if you want clear display, you want to be up to date on it, and you don't mind spending the extra money, get the third. But the bottom line is it all has to do with what you utilize it for.
Oh, okay. I mean, I'm not using it for dinner. I'm just going to use it just for fun. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I was saying that.
If you don't mind and you're not on a budget with it, definitely get the third. And
okay,
listen,
cool.
See, everybody always has something to say when something new comes out or whatever. I have never had any problems. If you want to, though, always get a warranty on them. I think the warranties are really, really good.
Right, because I have it on my MacBook. I have a warranty. I would recommend that. But I just wanted to know, like, looking up, because I'm really interested in getting one. So you say stick with the third.
Yeah, I would definitely get the third because, you know, it's just the quality of it is so much better.
Oh, okay. That's what's up. I'll stick with the third thing. Thanks.
So, Jason?
Yes?
You want to say your good night and everything?
I'm going
before
to
we
say,
get hung up on.
It's been a pleasure as always. I look forward to talking to you all again next Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. Everyone have a safe week and a blessed weekend.
Hey, Rob. Enrique, since you're on the phone with him.
Hey, just everybody have a blessed weekend. Be safe, have fun, and enjoy yourself.
Hey, Rob.
I just want to give a special shout-out to, you know, Sean for calling in. He said he was going to call in and everything. You know, everybody that's listening to this show, I told you guys that it's not only about ballroom, it's about real life in our community. So tell a friend, you know, Sands and Chop, number one ballroom station in, you know, history.
Hey, J-Rock, we're going to have to talk about Sean, honey. I'm gonna need some info on Sean. I'm about to get you up shortly. Naima.
Okay. Good night. I enjoyed talking to everybody. You know, as usual, everyone have a safe weekend, honey. And don't do anything you know, that I wouldn't do. But don't ask me what I wouldn't do either.
Damn,
but everybody
that's everything. Yeah.
You might as well not do nothing.
I forgot about Mark. Mark, say good night. I think we gotta get hung up on.
I wanted to say good night and thank you for having me on, Jasmine. I'm usually not here on Wednesday night, so I really appreciate you having me on tonight.
I'm about to hit Jason and Mark up and J-Rock. I need to speak with y'all.
Okay.
But
I just want to say one more thing. To that caller, the feminine guy, I will be looking for you to Facebook me because I really want to talk to you some more.
That's the first Sean, I think. And Alexis, are you still there? Alexis always disappears. Everyone, I just want to say thank you for tuning in. Have a safe weekend. Again, enjoy your weekend with the ball in Detroit. And please stop all the violence and no crashing into phone booths. And now we can just talk until we all get hung up on and we hear the commercial.
Are your bills piling up?
There ain't never been a bitch that said my ass is too much.
Now, who said that? Khadija said that?
Yes, because my ass is my ass.
Oh, she said that to Kelly, correct?
Yeah.